Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his punch, Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Hello.
I'm back. Sorry about being out on Tuesday.
You have an excuse?
Well, I always have an excuse. I was up to my eyeballs, but you know, I do apologize. From the emails I got,
Poop.
It was an utter disaster.
No, it was a great show, and everyone enjoyed it.
Well, I don't know. Some people beg to differ, but that's all right. I'm back.
Best of the off season, says our astute producer.
Fred has an inferiority complex, apparently.
I'm just saying that people were mad at me for not being here.
Well, it's always better when the gang is all here.
Speaking of that, Paul's not here. He had to leave.
Kid's but sick. We don't really need him.
Kid's sick. He had to go.
If there's one of us that can be out, it's him.
Apparently, the kid got jumped in school. I didn't know he was going to school.
Seconds after he said, it's better when the whole gang is here.
But if we can miss anyone, Paul is the one.
Right.
He doesn't bring a lot to the table.
I don't know anything.
Hey, did you guys talk about Paul's new hairdo yet?
No, we actually didn't. Because it's not his new hairdo anymore.
Yeah, it's not really
he
that
new.
He didn't
do it right.
He didn't do it right.
He quote-unquote shaved his head, but it's still long.
He did say he wants to shave it more the next
time.
Well,
he needs to because from last week to this week, it already grew back to almost regular.
I noticed nothing different about him.
Right. He needs to go the full bore, shave the head. He doesn't have to bick it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little later.
Most importantly, Fred.
It was disappointing.
We have a new segment that we like to lead off the show with. Yeah. It's called Eric's Favorite Trivia. Tuesday, I opened up the show, who was Eric's favorite president? Mm-hmm. And immediately we had responses that correctly named James Buchanan as Eric's favorite president.
Incorrectly, but for the sake of your stupid game, correct.
That's interesting, James Buchanan.
Now, today's question, Eric.
You know who the real favorite is, though, right, Fred?
Yes, everybody knows
for
Reagan.
You?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm a Reagan Republican.
He's a joke.
Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah. And we all know Eric likes to watch the Olympics, so today's will be Olympic-related.
Tanith Belbin.
Name Eric's favorite...
figure skater.
Speed skater. That's it. Eric's favorite figure... speed skater. We'll see how well the fans know and the Olympics.
Do you have one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he does.
I did. I have a favorite figure skater. Her name's Tanith Belbin.
Yeah, that's called a beard. We can play...
She has a beard?
By the way, Fred, I gave up for Lent. Picking on and retaliating against Andy and Paul.
So I have free reign
for 40 days. I'm not in that equation.
No, you are in that equation.
You can still make fun of me?
No, you're in that equation.
So the first person...
Why would you do that?
Giving up something for Lent is to sacrifice something that will hopefully make you a better person.
And I'm trying to
I'm trying to make myself a better person.
But usually it's stuff that you really, really enjoy. So you're saying that you really enjoy making fun of us?
No, but I have to, you enjoy standing up for yourself when you get into these little pissing contests.
It shows some restraint. He's challenging himself as a human being.
Right.
So the first person
to email... tested me several times
yesterday. Yeah, but don't you think, Andy, that that's really just raising the white flag?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to give up making fun of people for Lent would be... I couldn't
that
do
would
it,
be hard.
So I would never do it. I mean, I might as well give up eating and pooping.
I'm not giving up making fun of people. I'm giving up making fun of people in particular.
Well, right. No one else makes fun of you except us.
Right. That's not true.
Oh, really?
A lot of people make fun of you.
So please email in Eric's favorite speed skater.
All right.
A small clue, he may be Korean.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
I saw it last night. It popped into my head.
The off season is in full gear. The hot stove for football is heating up. Not a lot of activity yet, if you don't include the Raiders, who made Sebastian Janikowski the highest paid kicker ever. Is it ever?
Yes. Highest paid kicker ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they have the highest paid kicker and punter, who both have
basically
4 years, $16 million, nine guaranteed.
Right.
And they're single-handedly setting the franchise tag because it's kicker and punter. It's one tag.
Really?
So they now have, like, the top
two.
I actually went, and I just blogged about this, but first thing that pops into my head was Gostkowski. You have him under control now because of the CBA, and he's restricted instead of unrestricted, but at some point you need to sign him. He's going to hit free agency, or you want to extend him, whatever.
Right.
So he's going to look to that deal. I mean, he was an all-pro. Janikowski hasn't, I don't know if he has ever been, but hasn't been lately.
I know he's been at least once.
Okay, so he's been around 10 years. He's been around a long time, and he was in the Snow Bowl. I mean, that's how far back he goes. He's a veteran, former first-round pick, obviously. But I went and looked. He had a great year last year. But no one knows because the Raiders never score and they never, you know. He went 20 of 21 or 22 of 23. He missed one kick inside of 50.
Field goals?
He went 6 of 8 outside of 50, which is impressive
still. Guy's always had a leg.
And he had 17 touchbacks compared to 21 for Gostkowski.
It's hollow, too, from the way he drinks.
But he's just, people don't know it. He's good. He's just flat out good.
No, he's,
you don't think of it because you don't see him in a big game where he kicks the game-winning field goal and everybody's happy because he's stuck in Oakland, but he tried a 76-yard field goal, if you remember, a couple years ago. He hit from 61 last year. So he's got a stronger leg. He was more accurate on close kicks than Gostkowski last year. Maybe he should be the highest-paid kicker in the game.
Well, that's fine.
And the Raiders, I mean, theoretically, they now can control specialty. I mean, punting, kicking, everything, the field position, all those hidden yards.
Yep.
You know, it's the obvious yards that they struggle to get.
Right.
The quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
Well, despite, you know, not a lot of free agent signings yet, there is a lot of rumors out there, a lot of talk. Even on the Patriots side, Stephen Neal, who hinted at retiring after the season, now, according to his agent, is going to test the free agent market. Neal Cornrich?
Neal Cornrich,
His agent?
Mm-hmm. That's believes, important that you say according to his agent. Neal has not said
Neal has not said anything. But according to his agent, he believes that Neal is one of the best guards in the game and should be paid accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also one of the more injured guards in the game. But
yeah, I think Cornrich is probably saying to him, look, Steven, if I can get you a great deal, consider it. Let me do the talking. You know, if I can get a taker that, you know, makes it worth your while to keep playing, give me a month or two to see what I can do for you before you make a final decision.
Or just keeping your options open.
Right.
Just for anything.
Right.
Who knows if somebody agrees with Cornrich and thinks he's the best guard in football.
That's
and
what
says,
I'm saying.
I'll give you a 5-year, $25 million deal.
It's worth looking at, right?
Why I say it's key that Cornrich has said Neil's not retiring.
You know, Neal knows that he's going to be hurt at least once or twice during any season.
Yeah, he always is.
You're not going to get 16 games out of
him. Well, first of all, I think the shoulder issue, I don't think it ever goes away. It's just how painful is it? What he can deal with? Is it
degenerative?
Not that word, because that's not the word, I don't believe. But I don't know what the exact injury is, but he deals with he wears special pads that limit his range of motion.
Like Bo Jackson's hip.
Well, no, that was
a degenerative.
Degenerative.
Right. Injury.
Right.
So he's always got that over his head. That's why I don't think he'd ever get big money, because he's pretty old now, because he came late.
Right.
And he's always hurt. So
I don't understand the thinking there.
We do have a couple winners to the Eric Scalavino Favorites Trivia Game.
Oh, okay.
Very quickly, very impressively once again. Bull Strippers. Strippers and Cormac, our good all-time Hall of Fame listeners.
Our drunk friend in Ireland.
Bum from South Korea. That's Bum.
Yep.
It's one of those things. I'm not sure whether Bum is his first or last name, because you know how, like, Ichiro Suzuki
last.
Is. But he's Moti Bum. Or
no
Motai
disrespect.
Bum. Sorry, last night and I giggled. I go, this guy's a bum. And then I thought, Eric. And so, okay.
Are you sure about that, Doc? Because Kim Jong-il's first name is Jong-il. Kim
when
is
I was
the last
hooked
name.
On the Olympics, they announced Bum as his last name.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but... Did they do it because
it's
it right, or did they? I don't know.
I don't know. We're talking about NBC here, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm hooked on the speed skating. That's a great sport to watch.
The short or the long track?
Well, both, but the short is even more exciting.
Well, the short track is like a little like bumper car race.
But it's cool.
I think the long track speed skating is
because there was an American last night that made a pass on the last lap that was just phenomenal.
It's pretty amazing how they do that. But on the long track, did they get rid of those clap skates? Remember those that would detach in the back? And the idea was it stays on the ice longer?
I don't believe they have those.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone using them anymore.
Maybe they barred them.
Yeah.
But even that I find interesting because Eric likes it because they're bent over for so long.
Oh. Well, it's like.
And then they cross and they.
Yeah, you get your nose up somebody else's bum.
Well, that's more the short one.
The short track, right?
Yeah, the long one, you have your own lanes and you cross a couple times to.
Right.
Even it out or whatever, but it's just such a interesting sport. I mean, I don't think I could do it for more than 10 feet.
It's a cluster is what it is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying even the position,
you could
get in the position and not get a sore back.
Well,
and they put that inside arm that they never move. It's like perfectly.
Constantly turning.
Straight.
It's got to be like in a hockey rink because they're going so fast.
Oh,
as soon
bigger.
As they make, not much though, because as soon as
smaller.
They make a turn.
Oh, the
short track.
The short track.
Yes, that is.
They
in a
literally
hockey,
come out of the turn for like one step and then it's
and
back
then they
into
have
the
to
turn.
Start turning again.
And well, obviously
that
Ono
is
the star. Yeah. But it's just,
how do they not get dizzy?
Watch. I don't know. And then last, you're talking about.
I don't like the relay one though. That's too much confusion for me.
But I think it's great. It's exciting.
They come in, they push the guy.
Yeah. But you talk about having your head up a guy's butt or whatever. Ono last night, there was one point where he's skating and he's shaking his head because the guy's finger in front of him is like, no, he's tickling his nose with the hand that's on his back.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And then they fight.
Tickle my nose with a feather.
Easy. But yes, Bum is Eric's favorite.
No, but for the sake of the stupid game.
That's cheeky.
I think he's a good bum.
You're cracking us up.
Worst by the minute.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. No movement out of Wilfork.
No movement out of Wilfork.
But I did just look at Brooklyn Decker, and certainly there was movement.
Trying to talk a little football here.
No, but it looks like all these are going to go down to the wire with the franchise. You know, Oakland is going to franchise Seymour. The Patriots are probably going to.
Right. Reese did a thing of the history of the Patriots and using the franchise tag. And I think that unless there's some reason not to, the Patriots will wait till the last day to franchise Wilfork, unless there's some compelling reason. You know, they've always done that. The only time they didn't do that was with Castle. They did it on the first day because they really wanted to trade him. But when there's no thought of trading the guy, they wait till the last day. So I think that's what you're going to see with Wilfork is.
Any hope, Fred, that a deal is struck?
I think there is hope. I think there is hope, but I think that. You know, they're going to – I think what they're telling Wilfork's camp is, look, we're going to tag you, but we'll keep talking. You know, that doesn't mean we're going to stop talking. We're going to try to – you know, they did that with Vinatieri the first time they tagged him. They a few months later, they, you know, signed him to an extension. So I think that's what they're going to tell him just to try to at least, you know, keep him from being too upset about it is, look, we're not going to stop – talking about this. After March 5th, we'll have a lot better idea of what the landscape's going to be. And, you know, don't look at this as the end of it. We're going to keep talking.
Will we have a lot better idea of anything?
That's what I've been reading, that owners will have a better idea of the landscape after March 5th.
Of what? What changes March 5th?
I don't know.
Other than free
agency. That's just when it starts.
I mean,
it's when it starts, when they'll have an idea of what's going on.
No, but what we're hearing now is a lot of teams are going to have a self-imposed cap.
Right.
So nothing changes March 5th. If you're the New England Patriots, you already know what you're looking to spend, what you're looking to be under, in real cash, in cap money, and whatever it is. So if March 5th, Al Davis signs five players at $20 million each, does that change the landscape for you as the Patriots? No, because you're playing under whatever your landscape is.
No, but if the guy's franchised and there are teams out there willing to spend big bucks and give up draft picks to get Wilfork, you'll have a little better idea then.
Right? Well, you think
you have no idea right now what people are willing to do with a franchise player at this point.
I got to tell you, we may be overrating Vince Wilfork because maybe it was an omission, but Adam Schefter listed his top five free agents. Vince Wilfork was not in the top five and not in the honorable mention.
How many honorable mentions did he have?
I don't know, a handful.
Does he including restricted free agents in that too? Or just unrestricted?
I believe unrestricted.
Well, either way, you would think Wilfork would be...
Wilfork's unrestricted.
I mean, yeah. Right, I know he is.
But he didn't include... And he included Casey Hampton.
Well, I heard... I saw one list where Wilfork was like the fourth.
I think it should be closer to that. He's a young, two-time Pro Bowl nose tackle who has shown the versatility to play multiple D-line spots. I think he's better than Casey Hampton. I think Casey Hampton's very good, but I would put more value on Vince Wilfork.
Oh, Casey Hampton's another guy who's probably going to get franchised, right?
And yes.
He gets injured a lot.
He's upset about it. He does, you know.
Right. But at first I thought maybe Schefter didn't include people who were going to be franchised, but Hampton's on there, and by all accounts, they're going to franchise him.
Right. No, I think a franchise
that's
player...
That's odd. I think that's odd that he's not on
I think
there.
He just effed up.
A franchise player should be included because he's available, really, if you're willing to spend the money in draft picks.
He's actually more available... You know, everybody's starting to talk about the rules of 4 and 8. Franchise guys are available to those teams.
Right.
They're not unrestricted free agents that fall under the matching scenario for the top four. They can sign those guys if they want. So I think that's interesting there. If some team that's hands are tied, like who was I just reading has one unrestricted free agent? Cowboys maybe? One of the teams that's limited only has one unrestricted free agent.
Wow.
So they can only lose that guy, and they can only match him, and he's like a backup lineman.
That's because Stephen Jones came out a couple days ago with a statement or in an interview and said that, you know, the Cowboys would not be one of those teams out there spending willy-nilly, that they've got a lot of money tied up in deals that they did recently.
Right.
Ware and Tony Romo. And.
But I'm just saying... You know, they wouldn't have to spend willy-nilly to get one guy. They might be a team willing, we want a nose tackle. Mm-hmm. We're going to go pay Vince Wilfork. We'll give up. We think we're going to be picking in the bottom two of the draft for the next 2 years. I mean, well, this year's pick is higher than that, but we'll give up those two late first-round picks. We'll pay Vince Wilfork, and we think we now have the centerpiece with Ware and Brady James, whatever, to have a great defense if we sign him. Those teams can do that.
Yeah.
They can't sign Peppers. You know, the Cowboys could if he were franchised, but can if he isn't. Which, by the way, the more smoke in the Peppers fire for New England.
Yeah, Vic Carucci at it again.
He's at it again.
Yep.
Huh?
He's sticking to his guns, saying that.
Going down with that one.
He even said it in his story. He said, you remember a year ago in this space I wrote that the Patriots were close. Well, sources still tell me that the Patriots are very interested.
Yeah, but are they the same source? Because if so, I'm not buying.
I don't know.
Last year, remember, he said between now and the draft or something, it would be done. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
He has new sources with better information.
Look, Vic's been around a long time.
Right.
I'm sure that he felt that his source was a good source. And
he got burned.
And something might have happened. You know, maybe the Patriots were. Maybe.
Oh, I think the Patriots are interested.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
But I mean really interested to the point where a source said this thing's going to happen. And then something obviously prevented that. But, you know, if they were that interested last year, why wouldn't they be?
I would love to find out when it's all said and done and
what happened.
Yeah.
I think he didn't sign the tender. If you remember, what did Bill Belichick absolutely...
He says we can't even start talking about it until he signs that tender.
Like five times he said he's got to sign the tender. I think he was telling Peppers,
sign
the tender and you'll be a Patriot tomorrow.
That's what
and
I'm
he didn't,
saying.
If you remember, he waited. He didn't sign it till
much
later. Like, and I think the Patriots moved on and said, we can't wait. We're going to move on.
Did he not
now,
get it?
They should have waited. But
did his agent not get what was...
Who knows?
Being said with the wink
but
and the nod?
I really think there's a chance Bill was on EEI talking to Julius Peppers saying, sign the tender.
I think that's what we were saying last year, though, too.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, from a timeline, all the Patriots' moves, you know, after that period. Because maybe you're right. Maybe, look, plan A was this, but it happens has to happen by this time or we're moving to plan B, C, D, and E. And, you know, so maybe there's things that once they decided, okay, we can't wait anymore, the other things they did precluded them from then signing Peppers, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that could or should be the case, but maybe.
Because remember, they had a deal that they offered to Wilfork at the end of training camp that they had to leave room for, you know? So
right.
Maybe by getting Peppers, they wouldn't have offered Wilfork that deal.
Or
they
maybe
let, yeah.
Springs and Bodden wouldn't have been here. They would have said,
yeah.
You know what, our coverage won't be as good, but we're going to have a much better pass
but
rush.
But it's more likely with that chunk that they would have just let Wilfork ride out his 6-year deal without making an offer.
They did that anyway.
Because I think you're not even allowed to make an offer unless you have the room under the cap. Isn't that true?
For who?
For
any,
a team.
Any free
any
agent?
Team. You can't have a contract on the table.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Without having
I think your own guy.
Your own guy.
Yeah.
You just have
other
to,
teams,
you just have to clear the cap
right,
room by
make,
a certain point
yeah,
afterwards.
You make the move to open up the space. Well, now, you can't for, like, restricted free agents and some of those things.
I know there's
a
point where every contract has to be ratified by the management council
right.
or something. And at that point, you have to have the salary cap
right.
room.
But yeah. that's the point where if they ratify it, it's a real contract. It's
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
There's earlier points in the process where you're offering things. You know, they'll probably have to do some stuff when they offer Tom Brady $150 million or whatever. Doesn't mean they necessarily have that money right there, right then on the cap.
Right.
But I'm also, a lot of people are pointing to this, just the economy. That just seems to be the overriding thing I'm hearing from everybody. Owners don't have the money. I heard someone say, who was it on one of the radio stations? We're going to see, maybe it was Ordway talking about tiered bonuses because teams can't afford to hand out 25 or 30 million. They're going to hand out 15 million this year and another 15 million next year because they don't have the cash money to hand out. And
right.
I wonder how much truth there is into that. I have no idea. I mean, we have no idea what the books are or any of these various teams. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how truthful the economy is holding back the uncapped year and the chaos that could have ensued.
Yeah, we'll see. What else is going on?
I don't know. Somebody bought us lunch. You should thank them.
Yes. Who was it? Sean? Who bought us lunch today?
Scott in Atlanta.
Scott in Atlanta.
By way of Tacoma right now because we're waiting on a credit card.
I hope you get stiffed.
Oh.
Well, Scott in wow. Atlanta, thank you very much for buying lunch today. Does Scott have a email?
Credit card?
No. He doesn't.
Credit card.
Credit card first, email second. But you could read that other email because if you read that email, that person will buy us lunch,
okay.
Which is why I printed it out for you.
Paul from London.
Hi, Paul.
Wants to buy us lunch?
I guess. Well, I'll read the email.
I think he's talking about the one that's printed. Is it the same?
Same one.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man, and the pompous one. Who would that be? Because there's Paul and there's Eric.
No, there's only one pompous one on this show.
Some quick points and questions. Fred, do you,
Paul,
can
I'm,
you
I'm not,
do
no,
an iPhone iPod Touch app with live radio on it? EEI already has one. Get it sorted for us. The app that we have will have an update, and the update will include live radio. I can tell you that right now.
When?
Probably April-ish. I'd like to get it by the draft.
Time for the draft.
Yeah.
Right, perfect. Yeah. We have three shows we're going to be doing. Three shows?
Well, I think two. What I'm thinking for the draft, by the way, before I finish up, Paul, I'm thinking Thursday night, obviously we're live, and then we skip Friday, and then we do a show on Saturday.
I don't have to come Friday?
Well, you have to come for the draft.
Oh.
We have three picks, though.
Yeah, so we'll,
on
we'll,
Friday.
So we'll have a lot to talk about on Saturday. That's what I think.
Let's mull it over. Let's not make any rash moves just yet.
I think that's what we should do is Thursday night and Saturday.
My vote's Thursday night and Friday night.
Well, then we can't wrap it up. We don't know what's...
You to shut the hell up.
You know?
Wrap it up on Tuesday.
Why? What's your reasoning, Doc?
He doesn't want to work on Saturday.
There's always something here.
No, there's a Revolution game that weekend anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, no, I was just thinking... The bulk of the picks, like Eric said, are on Friday. It's Saturday,
well,
tap dancing.
There's four picks. They have, like, 13. So
Tom Brady
the bulk
came in the sixth
picks,
round. Julian Edelman came in the seventh.
The bulk of the
dancing.
Picks are actually on Saturday. But, you know, so you're thinking it'll be better radio if we do it Friday?
Yes, I was thinking that. But I also wouldn't be opposed to doing 2 hours Thursday, 2 hours Friday, and an hour Saturday.
No, I don't think we need to do three shows. I really don't. I think that's overkill. I think you do 2 hours on Thursday and 3 hours on Saturday.
Why don't we poll the listeners?
You know, well, they're going to say do the whole thing.
Yeah, they're
going to
say do the whole draft.
But we have to do some work. So, you know,
if you do it in rotation,
we'll think about it. We have time. All right, let me get back to Paul's email here. Let's see. Pick one of these: franchise Wolfer and keep him, or franchise and trade Vince for a first and a third. Bring in Peppers and go to a 4-3, which would allow Mayo to be a playmaking linebacker. We'd also have two firsts to fill our needs. Who's going to give the Patriots a first and a third for Wolford?
Oh, I don't know. I thought Paul had a demon.
The Raiders. I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think if a team wanted to give the Patriots a first and a third, I'd have to consider that.
I would do it.
You know, considering what they already have in hand for draft picks, you could do some damage. You could do some real
assuming
damage.
They actually use those first-round picks.
Yes,
by the way, it would also allow you to sign a restricted free agent because you would have the third-round pick necessary.
Right.
First and third. Now you'd be able to sign a restricted free agent and then still have a first-round pick that was coming in the trade.
Yeah.
So you'd essentially be potentially trading Wilfork for whoever you want, whatever top restricted free agent you'd want.
Elvis Dumervil?
I don't know. Bill seems fixated on 6'4", and he's 5'11".
My top five players to draft: Dez Bryant, C.J. Spiller, Sergio Kindle, Brandon Graham, Golden Tate. Any of them with the first pick is fine with me.
Oh, yeah. Can I issue a quick apology in the midst of this email? Brandon Graham. I think I chastised a bit one of our callers, may have been John in Dallas, saying that he said if Graham slips to 22, take him. And I said he's a guy that's rising from the second round, so he doesn't have to slip to 22. Well, now, off his MVP Senior Bowl performance, apparently his stock is skyrocketing. Armando Salguero on Miami wants the Dolphins to take him with the 12th overall pick. So suddenly, a guy who wasn't a first-round pick a while ago and was Lamar Woodley, who, by the way, was not a first-round pick, is now a top 12 prospect in the draft. So I was wrong. I apologize.
I apologize 1,000 times to you.
I underestimated the fluid nature of rating these prospects, and I will never make that mistake again. I'm sorry. I like all those picks. Dez Bryant has been compared to Randy Moss.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's a fair comparison. I'm not sure he has the top-end speed that Moss had when he entered the league. But
Paul says, XPFW alert, he who must not be named made an ass of himself before, during, and after the Super Bowl. He said, before the Colts win by 10, book it. During, Sean Payton is the worst coach in the NFL for that call. Stupid, that was when the Saints went for it on fourth and goal. And after, says, I've lost every bet on the Super Bowl that I did.
Good for you.
Yet someone hired this douchebag to be a guy that recommends bets.
Good for you.
Also, Eric, how's the art going, and how's the girl in Delaware?
I have no formal artistic training.
He doesn't know where Della is anymore.
Just by lunch.
And says, Fred, if you read this email, I'll hook you up with lunch in a couple of weeks.
Getting lunch, baby, on Paul. So how's the art going? I thought you were doing art in the off season.
I am.
What's his last name? Art.
Booyah!
Wow, that was good. That was good.
God bless you, Andy.
How
much
longer in Lent?
Wow, you set him up there. That was good.
He was set up like a mother.
38 and a half more days.
Wait, I thought you said 40-something.
It started yesterday.
Oh. Then he's going to come in and treat you like the bully.
My wife said, I'm going to, for Lent, she said, I'm going to give up, you know, spending. Unless it's absolutely necessary, you know, groceries.
How long that lasts?
Yeah, I was like, can you do that for 210 days?
What are you giving up?
I don't give up anything.
I don't either. So,
you know, my life is a sacrifice.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
Now, when is
at least from 9 to 5?
Is it a sacrifice when you're riding in your leather seated Cadillac to and from work?
Listen,
or,
I bought a
nice job parking yesterday, by the way.
Yeah. Why don't you just block the whole aisle?
When I got there, it was covered in snow, and there were no lines, and I parked next to a car. So then, you know, when everyone left, I was in the middle of
nowhere.
You weren't
the worst. You didn't start that fiasco?
No, I didn't start that.
There was a Ford Explorer that was, like, dead center in the aisle, not even close to where you would normally
park. No, it was all messed up in the morning.
And some idiots decided to park in the regular spaces later, so the people... There were people stuck in the middle. There was a whole aisle of cars who were stuck. There were three of them.
I came in and told these guys.
And the guys in the middle were screwed.
There were basically spots open because all the double were off by like a full.
Well, it's funny because I got to work early that day. It was like 7:15.
Of course you did.
And they had a they had an event in the club for a waste management company. So it's all, you know, guys that drive the garbage trucks, and you've seen how they double park, and
right.
So it's natural that they have their cars all over the place in the parking lot.
Unbelievable.
So what was I saying before that?
Nothing important.
About your wife not spending.
With the Lent and everything?
Yeah. Your life's a sacrifice. You came in early.
Oh, by the way, Stop and Shop called her. They want her back.
Really?
Really?
But just her. Huh?
Another set of commercials.
Just her.
The family and you're with us.
That's fine with me. No, so she has to go over and do like some voiceovers, and they're going to use some footage that they didn't use last time.
She's going to be leaving you behind soon, Fred.
Fine.
Wait, wow, you're a little excited about that.
A little quick to get rid of her.
Yeah.
You know?
Wouldn't bother you if she kicked you to the curb, went to Hollywood, and became a star?
I'm happy to allow people to, you know, flex their wings.
If you love something, let it go.
Flex their wings?
Yes.
Show me the money.
Two more just brief news items.
Sure.
Before we get on to emails and stuff. Involving former Patriots receivers. Dante Stallworth.
Right.
Has signed.
Right.
With the Baltimore Ravens, 1 year, $900,000.
Yep,
deal.
$900,000 with $300 in incentives.
Incentive.
So the Ravens are putting together a nice replica of the 2007 Patriots without Moss and Welker,
because
they have Washington and Stallworth.
Right.
Although they did whoop the Patriots without Moss and Welker.
Quick question though: free agency starts March 5th. He's obviously unrestricted because he got cut by the Browns.
Once you're cut, you can sign anytime.
At any time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like they signed Banta Kane
last
year.
Yeah,
he
didn't have a contract, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Deion Branch, quoted in today's Boston Herald, speaking very glowingly about his former team, saying that he wants, wouldn't be opposed to coming back, still has the relationship with Brady.
Belichick,
he said, I still love Coach Belichick, and if the opportunity presents itself to come back, I would love to be here.
I'd take him.
I thought his later
quote
was better.
But it'd have to be, some type of veteran salary, because he's going to get hurt.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This was brought up by a very good Ask PFW emailer.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks are supposedly going to a 3-4 defense under Pete Carroll.
All right.
Patriots want to cut Adalys Thomas, theoretically.
Yeah.
Seahawks want to cut Deion Branch, theoretically. One makes 4.8, the other makes right around 5.
Yep.
Would you just swap them? Trash for trash? Because then you can cut him later if you want.
Right.
If you get to camp and he's nothing, you can cut him or you can renegotiate his contract. But would you swap garbage for garbage?
Yeah, why not?
I think it makes sense.
I think it does, too.
Yeah.
Why not? You got nothing to lose.
That reminds me, though, the Branch thing. Vrabel is also talking about, moving on from the Chiefs.
But not necessarily moving back here.
No.
No.
But
he's not actually talking.
No. But
Neil Kornreich had a lot to say about a lot of things to a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah. So, they're talking about, where his next stop might be. And what is he? He's 35 now.
I believe so.
So he's up there. But Kornreich thinks he's got a few more years left. I don't know.
I think he could be still a role contributor for a decent team, decent defense. You're not going to build anything around him, but
getting into William McGinnis territory, though.
A team like the Jets, 3-4 team,
man.
Just rotate him through sometimes during the game.
And he would love that, wouldn't he?
Thomas and Vrabel bookending the Jets.
I love how Florio mentioned Vrabel's part of that Castle trade last year, that he was the rope that tries to hold the Christmas tree on the roof of the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. So the guys out there, I'm sure that they'd love to come back here if we'd have them.
I'm not so sure. I don't think Vrabel would.
Yeah,
I don't think Vrabel would come back if you gave him $10 million.
Oh, I think he would.
Maybe if you gave him $10 million. I was being stupid, but I don't think he would come back.
I agree with your point.
Kornreich quote on Vrabel? He didn't say he enjoyed his time there. He said he enjoyed his accomplishments while with the Patriots. So he doesn't even say he loves the Patriots or anything. No, he just said, basically, I enjoyed winning 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Yeah, we don't want him.
Of course you don't.
No. We can do better than that, and I think Tully Bannacane proved that. let's see. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your emails.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. So it was a big night for the Americans in the Olympics, or a big day, I should say.
Right.
We just got
Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn overcame that terrible bruise.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a fraud she is.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's a bruise. You didn't come back from a torn ACL a week later.
I mean, and they are painful. But.
Yeah, when you're a vag.
Are we leading the medal count?
Well, yeah.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think we broke the record for most medals in a day.
Most medals after the most severe bruise injuries.
Let's see.
My wife beat her in a ski race.
Kamani.
What?
My wife used to be friendly with Lindsey Vonn. Lindsey Kildow at the time they raced together growing up. And my wife last night goes, yeah, I actually beat her in a race once. I go, oh, really? That's cool. She goes, well, she crashed, but I still beat her. Now you can say you beat a gold medalist.
Yeah. She crashed and then bitched about the injury she
now,
got
when,
in the
when
crash
was this?
For a week.
What point in your wife's life did this happen?
Before she settled and married him.
Right. She was probably 13, 14.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
That is. I mean,
she's from Colorado, right?
That's now four people here now, and you each have Olympic stories. Two of us, right? You have an Eric Flame.
Eric Flame, yep. Not Er.
Eric, do you have an Olympic story? Because I got nothing.
Yes, actually, I do.
I photographed a nude Olympic.
Here we go.
You had sex with a nude.
There was a, what was it, the 88 team? The 88 hockey team. Olympic
All
hockey
of them?
Team.
It's Lent. You can't do anything.
Just
keep telling the
I
story.
Know. I'm breathing hard. Clark Donatelli was a member of the 88 Olympic hockey team. He's from North Providence.
Yep.
And we actually made our confirmation together because he was getting married and needed to be confirmed in the church in order to do that.
Yeah.
But he was like 6 or 7 years older than all of us at the time. But when we were going down the aisle to meet the bishop, he and I were paired together, so we had to walk down together. So that's my Olympic,
okay.
My Olympic moment.
Very good.
Your brush with greatness.
Yeah, excellent.
About as close as you've come.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Before,
I can't.
Is this before or after the priest incident?
Should we get to some real football stuff?
Fred in this.
What's
before
that?
We get to emails, I want to open up a discussion topic. And some of our listeners may
Which
have
could
heard
generate
of this.
A lot more emails.
Pro football.
Can I read this one email from?
No, you can't.
It's about the Olympics. All right, never mind.
This show is not about the Olympics, except for the Eric Scalabrino
sure
favorites trivia. Okay, read the damn email.
He says, my Winter Olympic thoughts. Lindsey Vonn is not that hot. He says.
First of all, she's not hot and she's annoying.
Right, Tanith Feldman's hot.
She has a
I can't practice all the bruises.
She has a chubby face like Blair from Facts of Life. Julia Mancuso, the girl who finished second to Vonn, is much better looking. I've attached pictures of her from last night for comparison. Short track racing is pretty cool, very entertaining. I wish there was a way I could bet on it, like horse racing. That would be interesting.
I'm sure you can bet on it.
I'll skip three because it makes fun of Eric. Four, I
still... Whoa. We're all making fun of Eric. That's what we're doing during Lent.
But I don't want Kamani to do it.
Oh, this is...
Yeah, because he's a psychopath.
Yeah. And four,
that was awful close to retaliation.
Right. But against somebody who's not part of the...
Four, more of a statement.
I can't believe figure skating edges out hockey for the primetime
truism.
Slot. We're forced to watch the games on a news channel with bad audio. And Eric's favorite short track skater is Leho Suk.
I saw him too.
And he also likes Johnny Ware.
He's a big fan of Suk and Bum.
That Johnny Ware, boy, talk about.
Makes
did you Eric
watch
look
that?
Like
talk
Paul about
Bunyan.
On fire. That guy is on fire.
But I think he does
and
it
you're
intentionally.
You're not talking about his performance.
I think he plays it up big time.
Oh.
He wants to be memorable, and that's his way to be memorable.
It's just... The men wear more outlandish costumes than the women.
Yes.
I just didn't feel real crisp.
Oh, my God. It's
You like Weir?
It sounded like Jeff Garcia.
You know what Weir rhymes with.
No, Andy, we don't.
Fear.
Beer.
Mm-hmm. Sneer.
Ear.
Ear.
Leer.
Tear.
Gear.
All right, what do you got there?
Okay. In the Neil Kornrich media tour in which he discussed Stephen Neal not retiring, he brought up Pro Football Focus, a website... One of those new age statistical blah, blah, blah
Gridiron
websites.
Mind kind of websites?
Yeah, but this one made it a little more. and he because the website ranks Stephen Neal as the second best guard in football. So I went to the site, and that is indeed true. They list Stephen Neal as number two behind, I believe, Jahari Evans, the guy from the Saints that everybody talks about. But then I started looking at other positions that I thought Patriots fans would be interested in. Because to me, the fact that an agent, a well-known agent, Neil Kornrich, who's had a lot of players in the league, a lot of big-name players,
right.
uses the site even to promote a client.
Is the site, is he an investor
lends
in the site?
I don't know. I haven't done enough research on it. I printed it out 10 minutes before coming down.
Probably,
I'm just trying to,
okay.
Andy, trying to do a little show.
All right,
today.
So, yeah, so and you get yelled at for
so
it.
So we're going
to
talk about this with a caveat. We don't know who these people are or what their
right.
motives are.
And if other listeners have all been right. here more often, know more about these guys and their site and their strategy,
right.
I won't pretend to understand. As you can see, Fred, it's all numbers, like a spreadsheet.
There's a lot of numbers.
Everybody.
A lot of numbers.
Makes it look official.
But
it was my understanding that there would be no math.
3-4 nose tackle. Where do you think Vince Wilfork ranks?
This is everyone in the league.
Eight. Yeah. I'll tell you, Vance Walker is the 59th best 3-4 nose tackle.
Okay, I would say third.
Sixth.
Wow. Ooh.
Jonathan Babineau for Atlanta is one. Kelly Gregg, Baltimore, a name we know. Kevin Williams, Minnesota, big name.
Right.
Albert Haynesworth, mm-hmm. four for the Skins.
He's a nose tackle, though?
D-tackle, nose tackle. D-tackle. It's a little...
Well, okay, so that's different,
oh,
then.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
No,
I'll
no.
Move on.
It's...
I will move on, and okay. you will allow me to.
It's different. That was misleading.
Okay, outside linebackers in a 3-4. There would be one candidate for us.
Adalis Thomas.
No.
Well, who?
Tully Mantecan.
The guy who had 10 sacks.
Okay, but that's not the only outside linebacker we had.
But do you really, I mean, he's going to rate.
Tully Mantecan.
Well, Paul would
not
say,
anywhere near as Paul fun as I thought it was going to be.
Paul would say that Adalis Thomas is better than Tully Mantecan.
You could argue that. Mantecan ranks sixth. Lamar Woodley is number one for the Steelers. DeMarcus Ware, number two. James Harrison, number three. Anthony Spencer, number four. So... Dallas and Pittsburgh have the right. two of the four. But we'll get into some more interesting ones. The most interesting one I found.
Quarterback?
No, that's not the most interesting one.
Really?
Safety.
Oh, God. Oh. Here we go.
What? Brandon Merriweather is ranked sixth among
really?
All safeties. Edward Reed, and that's how they write it, Edward, is number one. Kerry Rhodes, who was benched by the Jets, ranks number two.
Wait a minute. When we were walking over here, you told me Merriweather was like 50-something.
No, I told you he's sixth. McGowan was 50-something.
Oh,
Sanders
is 26.
Where's Ed Reed?
Edward Reed
number
is number one.
Okay.
Merriweather ranks sixth, and James Sanders is 26th.
Hmm. And Andy's theory there
Should
was that
starter.
There are two starting safeties on
right.
every team, so
right.
you
so
take
he's
that.
In the top half of NFL starting
well, I
safeties.
I think he got his starting job back at the end of the
he
year.
He should have never lost it.
Well,
he did nothing to lose it. And the other guy did nothing to win it. But most interesting, well, I'll save that one, the quarterback, for a minute. Where the hell is the most interesting one?
Don't well, I yet. Think Merriweather, six, is
interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Guard, Steve Neal, ranks second behind Jahari Evans, and sixth, Logan Mankins.
Wow.
So the Patriots have two of the top six guards in football.
Now, did they tell you what their... method is for
they have,
ranking these?
They do numbers, pass blocking, screen blocking, run blocking, penalties, number of penalties, sacks allowed, quarterback hits allowed, quarterback pressures allowed, and they have a whole number system, and they put it all together.
The thing about Neal being second is, in a way, not that surprising, because we've heard whenever Belichick
You're
is
right
asked about Steve Neal, he always compares him to Logan Mankins and says there's really not much difference between the two, and I guess these... people have come to the same conclusion.
Okay, we'll look at center, find out where Dan Copen is the 18th best center in football.
According to this.
So site. Right around the middle.
Tight end, Chris Baker is the 11th best tight end in football as the top Patriots tight end.
Watson.
Benjamin Watson ranks 35th.
Wow.
The guy Fred loves.
So how do they... How
the
do
top...
They,
I don't know. Can I just read some of these?
Is this career stats? How do
no,
they
No, this is based
that?
On last year, just 2009. This is 2009, rankings from last season.
But Watson had better stats.
It's not all about the stats. There's blocking involved here and everything else.
Oh, this is very,
Jason
very
Witten was number one at tight end. Todd Heap, two. Kevin Boss, three.
It's a discussion generator, though. Hmm.
Right. Halfback. Who was the best running back in football?
Last year?
Yeah.
Well, the kid from Tennessee.
Ray Rice. They rank Chris D. Johnson fourth. Pierre Thomas fifth. Let's see where the Patriots. All right, I'm looking down. Oh, okay, still
highest
looking.
Patriot.
Whoa, looking. 52nd.
Wow.
Lawrence Maroney.
Wow.
Is on the list. God damn it. Where's the. I don't think I printed the interesting one.
Which position?
Quarterback?
Wide receiver?
Linebacker.
What about quarterback?
And now I got piles all over the place.
What about the quarterback?
Oh, wait.
Oh, boy. That's good radio. All right.
Good thing he did some show prep today.
God
though.
Damn it.
Web radio.
No,
but what I wanted to tell you is they have Gary Guyton ranked ahead of Gerard Mayo.
Oh, an inside
at
linebacker.
Inside linebacker. One was like 30th, one was 32nd, which is, first of all, not good for either of them. But I thought that was the most interesting thing. Gary Guyton ahead of Gerard Mayo, your number 10 overall selection, your captain, all that.
I don't see it.
And they had, and just so you know, it wasn't like it was all over the place. Patrick Willis was one.
Yep.
Ray Lewis was two.
Where was D'Amico Ryans?
Probably up
there.
I would tell you if one of these 20,000 papers I had in front of me was linebackers.
I think this site is full of it.
Okay, quarterback, Tom Brady.
Three.
I'm going to say eighth.
Five. Lower than eight?
Yep.
15th.
10.
Oh.
And guess who's ninth? David Garrard. Eighth.
Oh, come on.
Joe
ninth?
Flacco.
David Garrard?
Right, so,
Joe Flacco.
So there's some flaw right there.
Peyton Manning is sixth.
There's a flaw right there.
Number one is Philip Rivers.
Oh,
number two is Brett Favre. Number
tied
for two is Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
So whatever formula
Favre and Rodgers tied
whatever
for
the,
two.
Whatever the formula is that they're using doesn't take into account how good they are.
I'm trying to see kind of what they use for quarterback. Overall, 59.5 is Rivers' ranking in whatever
that's
that
nonsense.
Means. And
nonsense.
Brady's is 37.0. He's nearly half the quarterback that Rivers is.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Where's Matt Castle? 29th.
Let's on the phone right now is Salt from Orlando. Salt, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Sorry you had to sit through that non-bit of... radio.
I like rankings. Any ranking that has some legitimacy and has Gary Guyton as a better inside linebacker than Gerard Mayo is interesting.
That's rank. What do you got, Salt?
It's a rank ranking.
I got a couple questions. So Paul's not there?
Paul's not here.
Thank God.
His son got jumped in school. Apparently he's going to school in the south of Bronx or something. I don't know.
The south of Bronx.
The son that... Wait a second. Was it Andy's kid that punched the kid a couple weeks ago, or was it Paul's?
I think Paul's.
Yeah, no, not mine. My kid's a good kid.
Yeah, there's something going on at that school. There's a lot of violence. So.
Yeah. So, got a little troublemaker there. Well, a couple weeks ago, Paul did ask PFW, and he wrote something about somebody asked if, you know, we give Will Fork, like, a roster bonus instead of a signing bonus. And he said that's not possible. Well, it is possible, but it's not really possible.
It's not realistic.
Because,
right.
Yes, we're not realistic because you can't have your salary decrease 50%.
Right, there's
from 1 year to the next.
Right, the 50% rule would apply there. It's a player's salary can't decrease to under 50% of the previous year's salary from 1 year to the next.
Is that a special, like, uncapped year type of thing, or is that just a normal?
No, that's rule? That's normal.
That's just part of the normal.
Okay, so I have a question. How does Antoine Winfield, remember he got like a $30 million roster bonus when they signed him to Minnesota like 5 years ago?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't?
They used this technique, but it wasn't as dramatic. I want to say it was like $10 million, and then the next year he must have had a $5 million salary or whatever to balance it out. So it probably went, you know, $10 million, $5 million, $2.5 million. Or something like that over the 3 years or so, some succession.
Okay.
Okay.
So you can do it, but you can't do it as dramatically as you'd like.
And it would be pretty costly if you did do it because, you know, even if you gave a guy $30 million, that means you have to guarantee him at least $15 million the next year and forth. So
that's one of the things that people aren't really talking about is, there aren't, you know, there are team restrictions, but – the thing that's really going to catch and keep teams from doing a lot of stuff are the individual contract restrictions that are in place during this uncapped year. And those are the things that are going to keep teams from doing whatever the hell they want.
Okay. I got two more questions. One question should be an easy one.
When I was 14.
14? 10 inches.
You wish.
Like the last drive of the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning threw a pass and it hit either like the crossbar or
It was deflected.
It was deflected and hit the crossbar or the upright.
If someone caught that, is that still legal?
No.
Or once it hits that, it's
out of bounds. Once it hits
out of bounds, dead ball. Once it hits the upright.
All right, and then a last question. Fred will probably like because it involves screwing people over. you know how like. Say we franchise Will Fork, and he didn't like it. And some players always say, "Well, I'm going to hold out till like the last week possible."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know how many games they can sit out? Like 11 if they play
10
like,
weeks.
The last
10
five,
weeks. 10 weeks of the regular season.
So is there any way to like screw them over? Because obviously they sit out 10 weeks, so they play the last six games.
Right.
And that counts as a season.
Yep.
Is there any way to screw them over? Like, oh, you didn't pass the physical. You can't play the first week. And really, they only get 5 weeks out of them, and then they get.
Well, they might be able to, but then you, his agent would file
a grievance,
and you'd lose it.
And I think it's just, I think he just has to be on the roster for the final six. He doesn't necessarily have to play in a game,
right?
So
what if
I believe that's the case.
Another question, maybe to that. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. I'm not thinking about Wolfork or anything. I was just wondering.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, say you franchise a player and they sit out. Do they count as the roster? Because technically they haven't signed there.
No, they're not on your roster.
So you have a full 53-man roster plus this.
Right.
Yeah, they're sitting out. They're not getting paid either.
Right.
They're not an NFL employee at that point.
Yeah.
So what if, all right, he goes to sign his deal in week 10 or whatever, and we already got 53-man guys, or the team's already got 53-man team.
You have to cut somebody. Yeah.
What if they don't? What if they say, we're not going to drop anybody? Then he can't get on the roster. And
you have to.
Well, then at that point, then you're saying, we're cutting him.
Right.
Right. You're removing him at the franchise tender.
Right. And now he's available to anyone.
That's the one way a team gets screwed, is because while he's not on your team, he's on your salary cap for whatever the tender number is. I know this year there's no salary cap, but in any average year, you know, if Julius Peppers had held out, when you offer a guy the tag, you have to have that amount on your cap. So he could have sat as almost dead money on the cap for a portion of the season. That's kind of irrelevant this year with no cap. But, yeah, once, you know, the team can pull it back. If he's sitting out in week six, the team can remove the franchise tender and he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I mean, there's kind of a waiting game back and forth there. Now, you'd lose him for nothing, which was sort of the whole point of
franchise. That's there's penalties on both sides.
Right.
All righty. Well,
okay, Saul.
That's about it, guys. Take care, guys.
Tell Peppa we said hello.
Right.
All right, bye.
Sounds good. All right, that's Saul from Orlando.
Another call out to Lucky, as some of our old listeners like to check back in. Haven't heard from you in a while, Luck.
Yeah.
Give us a call,
508-543-7482.
Look at you making fun of Fred for looking at the number.
I never say it.
Fred and Salt used the same exact joke back-to-back when he was here that day. Let me ask you a question, and Fred goes, when I was 14.
When you have limited material to work with, you got to recycle it.
Go with what works.
Okay, I got another couple interesting ones. I definitely
off of the same stupid site?
I definitely did not bring down the inside linebacker
boring.
One.
Really?
Your mother doesn't find me boring.
Oh, wow.
Except when I bore her, if you know what I'm saying.
Tackle.
Who do you think was the
Jonathan Ogden
best tackle in football?
Don't say Matt Light.
No.
Sebastian Vollmer.
Indeed.
Ugh. Wow.
Fifth-ranked tackle.
All right, this is nonsense.
Nick Kazier.
He's your guy, Fred.
He's my guy, but I'm not putting him as fifth-best tackle in the NFL after one rookie season.
Nick Kazier. By the way, fourth was Damian Woody. Right ahead of him for the Jets.
Oh, this is not... Who wrote this?
ProFootballFocus.com.
You know who I think is in charge of this site? He who shall not be named.
I don't think Neil Cornrich would be citing it if it was that ridiculous.
God, let's hope
not. Kazier was 28th, and Light was listed as the Patriots' third best tackle at 33.
How many of these guys that are in the top 10 of each of these lists are Neil Cornrich clients?
Oh, that's a good question.
You
think he owns part of the site.
I think that there's something.
That's a good question.
Let's look at receiver. Number one receiver.
Mike Vrabel, number two outside linebacker.
Right.
I should look at outside linebacker. Vincent Jackson, ranked as the number one receiver in football. Sidney Rice, 2. Reggie Wayne, 3. Wes Welker, 4.
Uh-huh.
Paul Perillo would bristle at that one. Andre Johnson, 5. Fitzgerald, 6.
Moss?
Randy Moss, 21.
You know, the receivers,
one spot ahead
of balls.
Devin Aramashadu from the Bears. And one spot ahead of
Why are we even spending time?
Because it's even if it's bad, it's funny
no,
bad.
No, it's not. It's
interesting. It's, Neil Cornrich cites it.
Yeah. Okay.
Who does Neil Cornrich represent, or has he represented in the past?
I don't know.
Who?
Bill Parcells.
And?
Who?
The other Bill.
Bill Belichick.
Yes. So this guy is tied to the greatest mind in the history of the modern era.
No.
And you think he cites stupid, irrelevant fan sites.
There's some silliness going on.
There's no silliness.
Yes, there is. I'm telling you.
The only silliness is you. If this said every Patriot was number one, you'd say it's the greatest site on the planet.
No, because they just said Vince, Vollmer was 5, and I poshed at that.
You what?
Pshaw.
Pshawed.
I poshed at that. Posh spice.
Pshaw.
Outside linebackers. Let's see.
Right.
Tamba Ali. Mike Vrabel is 13th, which is higher than he probably should be.
There you go.
One spot behind Elvis Dumervil.
Come on.
Hornrich must have a he must have a hand in this somehow.
This is nonsense.
Well, I would like to see. I mean, don't they have to put that on there somewhere? Like, click around, you can find like who owns it. Or...
Yeah, down in the bottom.
It just says profootballfocus.com, all rights reserved.
Well, you can probably click on that and find out more.
Strippers,
let me know how valuable Pro Football Focus is.
This is nonsense.
And while you're at it, email in the inside linebacker section.
We haven't really.
I literally printed out 50 pages here, and I can tell you who the 700th best special teamer is, but I can't freaking tell you who.
Enough.
Sorry, I do show prep. I'll just sit here with nothing.
It's like Paul talking about Northeastern sports.
It's the NFL. It's the Patriots. It's nothing like that.
It's toilet paper.
So go use
what
it.
That is.
That'll leave a paper mark.
Toilet says. Zach says.
Toilet.
Listening to the Patriots roster
toilet
report.
Says, stop. Please stop.
Listening to the Patriots roster report the other day, I couldn't believe my ears. If the choice was between Wilfork and Peppers, there's no debate. You go with Wilfork.
Who said that?
We were promoting the Debate Friday topic at the end of our podcast.
Oh, is this person saying there's no debate for them? It's Wilfork, no question.
Yeah, he says debate Wilfork, and I guess they were debating.
Right, because you were great with Wilfork last year.
Wilfork won that poll, right?
60-40, was the last I checked.
That was a few days ago. So
yeah, but
anyway, he says after a
15
season,
precincts are reporting, and we're calling it 60-40.
After a season in which intangibles were constantly concerned, there should be no debate as to whether to bring back a guy like Wilfork, who oozes leadership and football
in
guts
fact.
Versus Julius Peppers, a phenom of an athlete who was not a consistent on or off field presence. Obviously, the pass rush is a clear need on this team, but we don't need an elite pass rusher to generate an adequate pass rush. The team has generated sufficient QB pressure when we've had a solid front seven across the board, but where this team has fallen apart in prior seasons is when we are weak at the nose tackle position. Remember after the 0-1 Super Bowl when the following season we started 3-0 in dominating fashion, but in that close third win over the Kansas City, we were gashed for over 180 yards by Priest Holmes. Mm-hmm. After that, the word was out, and we ended up getting run over. The next season, we signed Ted Washington to plug up the middle. Vince Wilfork is a faster, sturdier, and more of a pass-rushing threat version of Ted Washington. Julius Peppers is an elite pass rusher, but I've never seen Carolina solid against the run because of Julius Peppers. In fact, they've generally been weak against the run, even with Peppers.
Whoa.
That's
Peppers
two different
is pass,
things.
Wilfork
exactly.
is run.
It's two different positions.
I haven't seen the Patriots stop a passing game in 3 years, and Vince Wilfork's been out there.
So... But I'd rather be strong against – I'd rather – if you had to choose between the two.
I'd be strong against the pass.
I'd rather be stout against the run.
I'd rather be strong against the pass. It's a passing league. I get to beat Peyton Manning and Drew Brees to get where I want to get.
I think when you're
– I want to hold
the
Lombardi.
When you're throwing the ball, you know
– And they were so stout against the run that Ray Rice went 85 yards on the first play of the game.
When you're throwing the ball, a lot of things can happen. Only one of them are good for the offense.
And they always are good for the other team when they play the Patriots.
There's a lot of – you know, but – If you're running over a team, you destroy their will.
Okay,
you,
so Wilfork guarantees you a stout run defense.
That's why I think Wilfork is the
How
guy.
How many times did the Ravens run the ball? 52 times to beat you up in the postseason?
He wasn't,
their quarterback had a 4.7 rating or 9.7.
He wasn't 100%. You know that.
And when teams are...
Do I know that? Because I don't know that.
Yes, you do.
When? No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
When he took 3 weeks off and appeared to be 100%. Everything that was 100% except for the effort of the run defense of which he was part of.
Let's
two
see.
Ofs to and start when, in the sentence.
When bad teams are losing to you, like the Miami Dolphins, and their bad quarterback, Chad Henne, ends up looking like Dan Marino, that has nothing to do with Vince Wilfork.
So last year, when the rubber met the road, they sucked against the run and sucked against the pass.
Okay, so answer me the question. Who would you rather
Peppers.
Have?
Peppers.
You would rather have Peppers
yes.
and Wilfork.
It's a passing league.
Okay.
You got to get to the quarterback. The Patriots can't get to the quarterback.
Who would you rather have, Freeney or Wilfork?
What are we doing schematically?
Freeney or Wilfork?
I don't know what we're doing schematically. Are we going to a 4-3?
What are you doing if you get Peppers?
He could play linebacker
play either
or
one.
End. He can be like Tully Dantekin, only
4-3.
Better. Well, then I'll take Freeney.
I'll take Freeney.
I think he's one of the best pass rushers in the game. And he's like Wilfork in that he's an effort guy.
Let's see. NFL.
Your stout against the run went out the window 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
I think you got to start there.
Plus, regardless of that, you weren't stout against the run when you needed to be.
Well, I don't think Vince Wilfork can do it all himself.
I
According
you just
to
said
this,
he did.
Yeah. You're just guaranteed you're stout against the run
right.
if you sign Wilfork.
I think you got to have some, you know.
The only good argument here is that Wilfork has been a perfect Patriot. He's done everything you asked, and Peppers is a questionable guy.
Look, I think there's also the argument that I'd rather have Wilfork in a guy that isn't as good as Peppers, but can rush the passer than
you had that
Peppers in a guy that's not as good as Wilfork.
Oh, wait a minute.
If that were the trend that the NFL was going in, that more teams were running the ball, then I might agree with you. But it's like Andy said, it's a passing
league.
And
don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the Patriots don't need to improve their pass rush. They do. They do. But I think, you know, when you're good at something, you want to try to keep that thing good and build on it rather than take away that thing that you can rely on.
But, Fred.
You know, for something that's an unknown.
They lost to the Broncos because they couldn't stop Kyle Orton. They lost to the Saints because they couldn't stop Drew Brees. They lost to the Colts because they couldn't stop Peyton Manning.
Right.
There's a trend there. They lost to the Dolphins because they couldn't stop Chad Henne, for the love of God.
Well,
but given all that, they lost to the Ravens because they couldn't stop the run.
Look, I just don't think that you...
Well, that was one bad day. I'm saying
no,
if you're looking
I'm
at the trends...
They're like assuming with Wilfork, okay, we'll just run.
Yeah,
it's not a
problem.
Right,
whoa. Up until that game, and for whatever reason, they weren't good. The Patriots have been pretty good when they have to stop the run, they stop the
run. I agree.
So... Let's not say that the Patriots stink against the run.
That's not what we're saying.
You know? That day they stunk, and Wilfork was in uniform.
They had a bad day that day.
Everybody had a bad day.
You know, Carolina's always good against the pass. They never get torched.
No.
Okay.
Who said that?
Of course. So you know,
I was using that guy's logic, not my logic. I was using that guy's
logic. Julius Peppers does not guarantee the Patriots to be better.
Yes, he does.
Not a guarantee.
He guarantees the pass defense will be better.
He does not guarantee that.
He guarantees it.
He guarantees it'll be better. He guarantees the pass rush might be better. That's about it.
He guarantees that it might be better.
He guarantees that it will be better. Well, I don't think you do that and sacrifice Vince Wilfork. Something that you know what you've got there.
Right. A nose tackle who's great in the regular season.
Well.
I actually love Vince Wilfork now.
Right.
I'm just ripping
you just
him.
Can't help yourself.
Are you done with that email?
Wilfork. Well, along the same lines, Rich writes in, NFL.com has Wilfork with 9 tackles and 4 assists in the final Baltimore game. Patriots.com says he has recorded a career-high 18 tackles in that same game. Which is
one
right.
The discrepancy. The
one
coaches,
is coach's film. Yeah. One is press box statistics.
The coach's stats usually are more inflated than the ones that the official
significantly
NFL
add like 100
put out. So, I'd
literally it's about double. I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculously high. Like last year when Mayo won Rookie of the Year, he had like 110 or whatever it was tackles, and the coach's tally had him at like 160.
Right.
Yeah.
They give him credit for siphoning him to other people, and
it's.
You know, so basically NFL.com had him with 13.
Yeah.
Patriots.com had him with 18.
He had a good game.
Yeah.
But
he
go
was
with
in
the
on
lower,
tackles.
Go with the lower
Some
number.
Of those tackles were 5 yards downfield. He also played end, if you remember that game.
Yeah, because he had a
second half, right.
He was playing two people's position. Either way, Vince Wilfork is not going anywhere. $11.9 million for 4 years, maybe five, with heavier stuff coming earlier or even a 1 year, because the Redskins may well look a fool when the salaries are... Why is this going? Are even lower in 2 years than they are today. Pierre Woods led the team in special teams tackles this year, and in almost every game this year, special teams the third chess piece that sealed the deal in the Super Bowl. We'll find out if salary is the issue if he isn't back. So I don't know. Anyway.
A lot of thoughts there.
Yeah.
The email not really kind of petered out.
It's early concurrent.
Well, it's tough because the email is like scrolled. For some reason, it's not fitting in the screen.
Okay. No. Doc was able to print me some information from profootballfocus.com.
Do you have an investment in this site?
This is interesting. First of all.
And it's not interesting because it's bogus.
Gary Guyton ranked 35th among inside linebackers. Gerard Mayo, 39th. Among inside linebackers.
All right.
Number one was Willis, 2, Ray Lewis, Nick Barnett, 3, Takeo Spikes, 4, Andre Davis, 5.
Takeo Spikes?
San Francisco.
I know, but...
No, you didn't. There was no chance had I asked you which team Takeo Spikes played for.
He's 50 years old.
And then he went over to, like, the frequently asked questions or get to know us page. And interestingly enough, it doesn't say who does it,
But there's a paragraph of what their objective is and everything. They use the word whilst, by the way, Eric, so you're a candidate for working for this site. But at the bottom it says, Neil and the Pro Football Focus team. So it could be Neil Cornrick.
N-E-I-L?
N-E-I-L.
Oh, man.
It also, all that information is based on 2007.
No, that's not. Those are definitely updated.
Oh.
Sebastian Vollmer was.
They have to be, yeah. Vollmer's.
They just haven't updated their.
Well, who's Vollmer's agent?
Probably Neil Cornrich, for all I know.
Yeah, this is just ridiculous.
Andy, read how
you've
read
just
how
given
great...
20 minutes to somebody.
Which one? What am I reading?
Right hand.
Right hand.
Oh, it doesn't know
right
what the left hand's doing.
Grading. How do we grade? Plus,
if we are
each grade given is between two, plus two and minus two, with 0.5 increments and an average of zero.
And if he's my client, then I give him an extra 10 points.
A positive intervention in the game rates a positive rating and vice versa. Very, very little draws a plus minus two rating. The fact distribution of non-zero grades is like this. I don't even have any idea what that means.
Written by a lawyer.
Normalization. The grading takes account many things. Intelligence to raw statistics.
Intelligence.
Normalization. We're going to raw grades. Normalization for offensive linemen. So
basically this is what he uses to try to get money for his clients.
Right.
Seems like it.
It's a propaganda site.
Wow.
That's all it is.
And
you just gave him 20 minutes.
And interesting.
Yes.
He's been tied to the past too.
Why are you like putting your hand
Dr.
Like
Evil.
Bill yeah. Belichick. Mm.
Yeah.
Tom Brady ranked 10th among quarterbacks, and the Patriots are trying to extend Tom Brady for a lucrative extension.
Ah.
Now, Belichick can go, well, according to Pro Football Focus, you're not even as good as David Garrard, so you ain't getting $150 million, so bring it down a notch.
No, that you've just blown
the
lid off.
You must be in another galaxy
right
somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
So
I don't know, Bill. Maybe you're the one doing these rankings. Maybe that's why your spread's so thin.
My initial suspicion was correct.
Nor did I.
It's a biased site. Nathan from West Sydney in Australia. I don't know. I know that you don't usually.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
When the show was a blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Do they have mountains in Australia? Who's this? Trent?
The Pro Bowl should be played in Sydney, Australia. The places you mentioned in Europe are good. But remember, they only play the Super Bowl in southern and western cities in America because it's freaking winter. No player is going to a Pro Bowl in Paris and freeze their ass off and try to put on a really good fake smile
good
for the
point.
Camera.
That's a good point.
Play it in Sydney,
and
where February
Sydney.
It is summer,
right.
And great weather. It will be a holiday, and players can come out and have a good time, sightsee in the Sydney Shmee's Harbor,
vacation.
Tan it up on the beach, and maybe get some football practice in. Don't worry about getting fans to fill the stadium. It's the off-season for rugby league in Australian football, and just hand out a load of free tickets and make it look good on TV. They also want to make money off this thing, so I don't know.
Oh, they'll make money.
Plus, isn't it like when it's noontime here, it's 12 at night there?
Yeah, it's like 16 hours or something ahead.
So if they want to play it at 6 at night here, it's 6 in the morning. So that might be an issue. An issue.
So tape it.
Yeah. The Pro Bowl, forget about it. Don't play the game. It's ridiculous.
I don't think that's an option that they're really going to take.
Yeah.
Just leave it in Hawaii, for God's sake. There was nothing wrong with it. People loved it that way. Leave well enough
going
alone.
Going back for at least 2 years.
Connor says...
I know, leave it there.
Here's something to chat about by the water cooler. Do we ship Maroney to the Chargers for Antonio Cromartie? There have been reports that the Chargers are interested in a running back for a Cromartie deal.
A good running back,
that's
I would
Connor
say.
Connor in Ireland.
They're looking for a starting running back.
Yep.
Lawrence Maroney's not going to get you anything.
No.
Anything. He's a Jag.
Nothing?
Well, maybe a conditional. I mean,
yeah, he no guarantee he'd make
the
team.
Pick or something.
Right.
You know, some of these coaches, they have these egos. I'll bring him to my team. I'll make him into what he, you know, because he has flashes. I mean,
fumbling? Yes, he does.
You can see that.
Immaturity? Yes,
wow,
he does.
If he could just
injury?
Get it together, he could be great.
Those are more than flashes. Those are bright rays that just shine forever.
Hey, this is Lawrence Maroney, a.k.a. Kool-Aid. A.K.A. L. Dot, A.K.A. L. Train.
A.K.A.
Step the game
bust.
Up, player.
I'll just shorten that all to bust.
L. Dot.
Keith bust. In Central Florida says, great show. I know it's early, but have you had a chance to look at running back Jonathan Dwyer out of Georgia Tech?
Not really.
So he goes on to say that he's really good, physical speed, and that he thinks it would be a steal if the Patriots got him.
He's an interesting
in the second
player
round.
Because he's not necessarily the Chris Johnson, C.J. Spiller type.
Yep.
So I like this little differentiation that's starting to occur at running back. You got the Chris Johnson, big play, undersized, McCluster guy, those types, Joe McKnight, you know, kind of the Reggie Bush mold of back where you're going to have to catch some passes, hit big plays. And then, like the guy out of Fresno, Matthews.
Ryan Matthews.
Who led the country in rushing is just a traditional, you know, Adrian Peterson, big, you know, 220-pounder. So it's all about what you want. What would you rather have, Fred?
What's that?
At running back.
He just doesn't listen.
The little Reggie Bush
it's just amazing.
Lightning in a bottle type player or the
headphones broken?
every down.
Well, I don't think
bulky.
Reggie Bush is pretty big.
Yeah, but he's not an every down player.
He's not an every down player.
So
they rotate. He's part of a committee.
I'd rather have a guy like Adrian Peterson
who fumbles a lot. Oh, that's why you like
without
Maroney.
The fumble.
That's why you like
without the fumble.
You like guys who fumble.
Without the fumbling.
So the Fresno State
got
kid,
him on that
Corey Matthews Dillon. is potentially an option then. Fresno State, Pat Hill. That's an option.
Fresno State also has one of the better punters we could draft.
Yemi from Texas. Are you guys scared as I am of Adalys Thomas getting cut and going to the Jets?
No.
The only thing worse than his performance as a Patriot is if he does great on the Jets.
You should be scared as a Patriots fan. Rex Ryan loved him. So
yeah, but he also had
a chance.
Well, yeah.
What?
He'd be a team captain for that game.
Yeah, he would.
Well, according to ESPN, he was a team captain for the Patriots. They had a story on their website that said, up and down year for Adalys Thomas, started the year as a defensive captain.
Incorrect.
No, he didn't. Wrong.
Inaccurate.
Worldwide leader. The worldwide leader doesn't have editors.
Brent says that the Neil from that stupid website that you're talking about is a guy named Neil Hornsby.
Sounds like a pen name.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Hornsby, Cornrich.
What do they call that? A nom de plume? What
are they? Nom de plume.
So.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's like French for pen name?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's plume?
Feather.
Feather. You know,
they used to write with the ink pen, the feather pens.
Keep your feather where you like it.
Oh, boy.
Why do we not have TV anymore?
I don't know.
It's been out for about a half hour.
Our TVs
the satellite went down, I guess.
I think we might be under attack here.
That's not funny to joke about.
It's not funny to joke about.
They're talking about FBI plane crashes on TV.
Intentional.
We're a high-risk target.
Yeah.
Cedric in Chicago.
They want to kill four people. They'll blow this mall up.
Do you remember me? I used to live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm in Chicago now, says Cedric. Good for you. I have sent so many emails, but Fred has his own rules. We have to email him during the show. Fred, you suck.
I agree. He doesn't even listen to us.
I have a question, guys. I checked the schedule out for next season, and New England is coming to town. I would like to meet you guys and buy you lunch and some drinks.
Dinner.
What do you think?
Dinner at Ditka's on you. We'll take it.
Thank God we have Paul, Andy, and Eric to balance Fred's madness. Let's see. All right, guys, keep it going. Fred is the psycho. Paul is the wise guy. Andy is great. Keep bringing those dirty jokes. That's awesome. And Eric is still looking to score, if you know what I mean. Eric, just messing
we
with
know
you.
What you mean.
You're my favorite along with Andy. By the way, Pepper's over Wilfork.
Good
it's
man.
A passing league. I want to stop Penis Head.
Who is this? That's a very good
Cedric
email.
Cedric, formerly from Knoxville, now in Chicago.
Well done. And we'd be happy to go to Ditka's on you.
Exactly.
Or that other place that everybody says is a great restaurant. I forgot the name of it.
I don't know. I'll take Ditka's.
Ditka's is
Ditka's.
I think we should go to Ditka's.
Eric likes Ditka's. Do you wear Dickies?
That's Lent. I got to keep telling myself.
Speaking of Lent, TG and NJ says, I thought for Lent you were supposed to give up something you like. Andy should give up making fun of Squidward and cracking his juvenile jokes on air. Squidward should give up being pompous and wearing sweaters. And by the way, he's got a powder blue V-neck.
Correct.
On today.
With a white waffle underneath.
Waffle weave underneath, yeah.
Fred should give up talking about anything other than football. And Paulie should give up hating the fans and arguing with Fred.
He can't.
None of us can do any of those things.
Yeah, it could be the shortest Lenten season ever. Fred, you guys have to do a show on Thursday and Friday for the draft. Skip Saturday. Skip Saturday, he says.
Let's be honest.
We'll talk it over.
On Saturday, we're recapping Thursday,
everything.
Friday. I mean,
right.
A lot of times we're getting picks we don't know a lot about.
Right,
you know,
I just
Julian
figured
Edelman.
On Saturday we'd have more info, we'd have more to talk about.
So what's the timetable on Friday? It's rounds 2 and 3 from when to when,
draft,
7 to 10.
Draft starts at 7,
I think so.
And it's only round 1, right?
On Thursday. Then 2
and,
then and 3,
two and three
Friday,
are on Friday.
4 to 7
on Saturday. Rounds 4 to 7 on Saturday.
Right.
And so is it 7 o'clock on Friday night as well?
No, I think it starts earlier.
It's like a half-hour difference one of the nights.
Starts earlier on Friday. Saturday it starts at 10 in the morning.
Oh.
Better be in the morning.
It's all right. We'll get done quicker then.
I really think the schedule works out nicely for us.
Yeah, and we'll get Sunday off.
Less really late nights.
Yeah.
7:30 to 11, 6:30 to 11, 10 a to 6.
10 okay. a to 6. Okay.
So late nights is... We're going to be there till midnight, both nights.
They should get those three rounds done in less than 8 hours.
Yeah, but it's a weeknight. We get our Sunday back. We don't lose a whole weekend to this thing.
Right. I'll take that.
I know
that.
You don't
I'll
care
because
you hate your family and you hope they run off to Hollywood to become famous.
I mean, from a fan's perspective, it was much better when it was Saturday, Sunday, because you could make an event of it on Saturday. You get the guys together. You go down to the sports bar, spend the whole afternoon. You have an excuse to waste the day. Sunday, you're hungover. You know.
We were going to go drink.
Yeah, exactly, Paul.
I'm not sold on this Thursday night draft party. Is that really... Are they selling the tickets? Is it working? Is it...
They haven't gone on sale to the general public yet, just the premium seating members, but I think so.
I just... You got to go to work Friday, and it's not that cool of a thing where I'm going to go out and use a Thursday night. Saturday, okay, I'll go kill a day somewhere on Saturday.
For the fans, it's... I don't know if it's going to be as popular with the fans.
I think this is another...
Better for us.
It's like the Pro Bowl. Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Goodell can't leave well enough alone.
Reverend Ray writes in. That's not that easy to say. Reverend Ray writes in. It's not that bad.
It is for someone of average intelligence.
The Patriots were 16-0 the last time I emailed, though I've been listening faithfully since then.
What's up, Rev?
So here's a quick hypothetical. Let's pretend the Patriots re-signed Bannikane and Burgess, the Ken Walters of Setting the Edge. Which would you prefer? Which would you prefer? Peppers in a linebacker picked in the fourth or Kindle?
Peppers.
I'll take Peppers. I mean, we know what we have with Peppers.
Yeah.
So Kindle is all potential at this point.
For whatever you hate of Peppers, when he tries and is
he's
honest,
a beast.
He's dominant. He's one of the greatest athletes that you can see in the NFL today.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. Mario from San Benito, Texas. In the spirit of possible or impossible offseason transactions, I wanted to ask each of you to name one or two players whom you would give up our first round pick four. However, try to make the trade as realistic as possible for both sides. Also, I've considered myself a big Pats fan since I started watching football in 04, but I haven't necessarily seen the team in the lowest of lows a la Detroit Lions. Anyway, this leads me to my next question. Is there anything that the Patriots can do that would make you stop being a fan? Can't honestly think of such an act that would persuade me to the dark side, even after perhaps the biggest heartbreak in sports history and being called cheaters and having our three titles tainted, which I don't believe, obviously. I would love to see your insight for both questions, and thanks for reading the email. Well, the first one, yeah, if I get fired without cause.
Right. Or laid off.
Exactly.
If they stop sending paychecks, I'll be unhappy.
As far as the first one, who would you give up a first-round pick for? DeMarcus Ware.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Now, I know he's a free, but a guy like Peppers, James Harrison, any of those edge rushers.
Harrison, I have doubts about him.
What?
I think that he's a product of the system.
See, I don't.
Yeah.
And you don't think he'd be a good product in this system?
I don't know. I don't know.
So you're saying this system stinks.
We definitely have never really used a linebacker like he gets used, or an end. You know, so
see,
it would have
thing.
To be a change in how we do things.
Exactly. If you get a player of his ability, you change the system to fit it.
And also, based on numbers, I know you're not a big fan of numbers from websites.
Not from that damn website.
ESPN had numbers on percent of the time rushing for Thomas, Bannikane, Burgess, kind of compared it to other teams, other players. Thomas was way down. I believe he was at like 11% of his plays. They asked him to rush the quarterback. Bannikane was higher, but Burgess was at like 56%. Hmm. So he's getting the chances. More than half the time out there, they're asking him to go get the quarterback. He's just not getting there.
No, he can't.
If that's James Harrison, maybe he's getting there.
It's like he doesn't have the strength to get through a block.
Well, I think he doesn't have the speed. He never had the strength. I think he probably has similar strength to what he always had.
Yeah.
But it's like that. We always talk about the Vincent Brisby, these guys that they lose a step, it's over. They don't.
Well,
Moss loses a step and he goes from unbelievable to good. Some of these guys lose a step and they go from good to shouldn't be in the NFL.
Because that's
anymore.
What their game was.
Right.
Well, when Burgess first came here in camp, immediately they tried him out on the right side, in the drills. And for whatever reason, when it came time to play, they put him back on the left.
Always amazes me the random things that Fred suddenly remembers from 8 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have no memory of that at all.
No, they had him rushing, you know, in that far corner there.
50-50 at best.
They had him rushing in the far corner from the right side every time, and, you know, they realized, you know, he just can't do it, so they moved him to the left where he has played.
Hmm. And I also thought it was interesting. From day one, Bill raved about his strength and his ability as a run player. He's not just a rusher. Now, I don't know if they were setting us up so we didn't expect too many sacks or what. But
I think if Burgess didn't come the way, you know, the way he came, you know, as with this history a couple of years ago of being the sack leader in the NFL and all that, I think we wouldn't mind him. I think he'd be fine.
Right,
you
but
know,
they were expectations.
Yeah,
because it's
of
like
the
Lawrence Maroney and Benjamin
but
Watson. There were expectations.
Benjamin Watson.
I think he's an okay player, you know.
He is an okay player, but we expected to get more than an okay player.
Right. You had a hole that he was expected to fill.
Right. But if he's on this team next year,
he's going to be, I think.
I think that's fine, but they still need to improve the pass rush.
Yeah, he's fine as a situational sub-package.
He's Mike
guy.
Wright. He's Tully Banta. Well, he's not even Tully Banta Kane. He's a Mike Wright or one of those guys that you say he's an okay player. He's in my rotation. He's doesn't embarrass me when he gets on the field. But I think people came in expecting double-digit sacks.
Mm-hmm. Sean says, is there a reason why the Pats would let Wilfork leave and pick up Peppers? Does this mean that Peppers would be more valuable than Wilfork? The money would have to be similar. I personally don't think they will do either and look for a bargain somewhere. They are still working off the old MO, which is not working anymore. I hope I'm wrong, but we will soon know soon.
The money would be more for Peppers.
Right. I mean,
significantly more.
Look no further than franchise numbers. The top five at defensive tackle is $7 million. The top five at whatever is 12 point something. I mean, Peppers from last year was above and beyond.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
I mean, the money is there's more money as an edge rusher, defensive end, outside linebacker than there is as a nose tackle.
And it's a premier spot. You would expect that.
Right. Because they can change games.
Yeah.
That's why I want one, and Fred doesn't.
Stripper says, if you do a Friday show in the draft, Bill will probably trade two of the picks out anyway. So do a Saturday show, recapping round two in live on the other rounds that day. That's my vote.
So 12 to 3 on Saturday?
Yeah, that would be good.
So we'll do early. So we'll do like 8 to 11 on Thursday. I mean, 8 to 10 on Thursday.
Yeah.
And 12 to 3 on Saturday.
I mean, that's one possibility.
Or 11 to 2 on Saturday.
So we potentially wouldn't be there for the end of the draft.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be there
for the... No, we wouldn't be on the radio for it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, we never are.
And then Tuesday we can recap everything.
Yeah, we're never on for that. By that time, it's like ridiculous.
And we're not
good. Guys are throwing darts against the wall.
That's true.
We've lost our
energy.
We've
lost our steam at that point.
And we want to take phone calls this year, right?
We'd like to,
if you
sure.
Can, yeah.
Well, do we really? I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
At least have the ability to.
Yeah, we can always blow them up if they suck.
Yeah.
Right? Thought we didn't have that ability.
You working
we'll
on
change
it?
Change the setup.
Okay.
We'll still be in the press.
A doctor, I can make anything happen.
You guys will be.
Well, now that he has a staff of 25.
Right,
that's
true.
My minions are on it.
When did you? There's a soccer game at what time on when?
Saturday? Soccer?
Yeah, I think they're
night
home. I don't know.
No one's watching anyway.
Preston says, what do you guys think of the Branch talk? Supposedly, Deion wants to become a Patriot again.
Love it.
How do you feel about this?
Take it.
He could be a legit third receiver.
Love it. No risk. All reward.
He would
His high side is higher here than anywhere else.
Technically, he'd be the second receiver with Welker out.
Right.
You would think. You'd have Moss on
now,
one side.
Now, he may
side
be done. There's some people in Seattle that believe he's just flat out done. He doesn't have the quickness and all that anymore.
A lot of people
and
thought that about Moss in Oakland, too.
Right,
but for different reasons.
As I said earlier, going from greatest ever to really good
still
is different than going from
pretty good,
which is what Deion Branch was at his best,
to
retro. He doesn't have it anymore. Something you could face with number 83 now, Wes Welker.
Yep.
Because I don't think he was elite in terms of talent and everything, and it's the quickness. And if you lose the quickness, you might be in trouble.
That's a legitimate concern.
What number would he wear?
Oh, Branch or Welker?
Branch. Welker owns 83 now. Welker had far better seasons than Branch ever did.
I know.
Branch never got to 1,000 here. Remember, even though they tried, they put him back in the end of some game, the end of the season, whatever
Super Bowl
season that
MVP.
Was. Yes, I know he had Super Bowl MVP. Doesn't mean anything. Who's like the safety from the
All those JAG Super Bowl MVPs that cash in big the next year and are out of football 2 years later.
Larry Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo says, hey, guys, I think the talent search may be over for a new host from Patriots Today.
Me?
He sends a link from Maxim, New England Patriots cheerleaders. I don't care if she's illiterate. I'll watch.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's blocked by our corporate policy.
For what?
You know what they call that? What kind of block that is?
They don't allow us.
Rhymes with block?
Yeah. They don't allow us to go
rock.
To Maxim.
Nope, not rock.
Sock?
I think I know who it is.
What does a rooster say?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
The cockle-gobbler.
The cockle-gobbler. Fred is indeed a cockle-gobbler.
TG and NJ says, got to admit, during these slow days of the football year, a big reason I listen to the show is just to hear what Andy will say next over the air. Those mother zingers are borderline.
No, they're not. They're across the line.
You said you were going to bore her.
Right. I read things from ProFootballFocus.com, and she gets bored. I don't know where your mind is in the gutter.
Right.
I'm not the one who says, laying down, drilling for oil.
LT from Adelaide, reflecting back on the season. Was coaching mistakes a big factor in the Patriots season? And
yes.
What kind of improvements do you think the coaching staff will make in the 2010 season? I remember Bill saying that he didn't think he had coaches that would call him out and who would timidly agree. He never said that. Right.
Yeah.
Someone asked him, is that something you have to think about? And he said, yes.
And I see what you're talking about, and blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
And he mentioned there was a time when he might not have been, and
right,
he ascended to that. But he never said, my staff stinks, no one challenged me. Mm-hmm. He
right,
never said that.
Yeah.
And I do think coaching was an issue at times this year. Even he admitted they get out-coached.
With this in mind, would you think that adding someone like Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison to the coaching staff, even as an assistant, would help the team gain some bite with regards to strong leadership in a coaching sense?
Yes, but I don't think those guys want to.
Would you pay Rodney Harrison $1 million a year to be sergeant-at-arms of this team?
No.
I'd like to see him as a coach somewhere first. To see how he does. I wouldn't necessarily assume that just because he was a great player, he's going to be a great coach.
Oh, I would take him, but not at $1 million a year. If he wants to take the normal, whatever the starting salary is, even I'll give him credit for being a player. So I'll give him $85,000 or something like that to come in, be almost a consultant on defense, be willing to challenge Bill, to not need him. His money's in the bank. He's not trying to build like a coaching career from the bottom up. Because I think he would do that. I think both those guys would.
I'm not so sure either one of them would want to coach.
Oh, I don't think they have any interest. I think they have no interest. They've seen what it does. It tears families apart. There's too much time dedicated.
And there's a lot of money in broadcasting.
Right.
At their level.
And it's easy. You do it a couple days a week. You show up. You do a conference call. You do a little production meeting. Boom. You're out. You call somebody an idiot for 30 seconds at halftime and move on.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy in Worcester has an interesting email. He calls it my first annual Seymour Richard draft. These are the names of actual draft prospects, according to CBSSports.com, which Andy Hart would love the chance to use in a sentence at some point during the draft. John Asamoah, Parrish Cox, Joe Cock.
Wait a minute.
K-O-K.
K-O-K.
Oh.
Quentin Hancock, Ed Dixon, Bob Johnson, Stefan Johnson, Derek Hardman, Ed Wang, Scott Sicko, Jesse Rack, Slick Shelley, Matt Clapp, Casey Bender, Grant Stucker, Corey Reamer, Chris Dyke, and Gino Blow.
Hello! That's good.
So there you go.
Bob Johnson.
First annual Seymour Richard.
Draft. Yeah.
Guy's first name is a verb.
I like it. Sean McLaughlin writes in. Sean is from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, longtime listener, frequent emailer.
We're now introducing last names to the email.
That's what he had.
His email address is.
His IP address is 12.7.6.
As the doldrums of this offseason continue, let's talk about two things, one about the past and one about the future. First, the past. Well, soon to be the past. Adalius Thomas. Why do you think he failed here? Was it the way he was used, or was he just more productive in a system like Baltimore? Just wonder why we did not get much of the impact we got from him.
A combination of both.
He was also surrounded by a lot of talent.
Well, that's what he's talking
Baltimore.
About with the system. Yeah. But
I was reading something today, I want to say on Burt Breer, Boston.com blog. He went back and got an old quote from Rex Ryan talking about Adalys Thomas and saying he had some Lawrence Taylor in him and some Carl Banks in him. And it just took us a while to realize it and be willing to give him the chance to do it.
Right.
So I think the whole Adalys Thomas, Ray Lewis pissing contest, I think there was some truth to they had to kind of tailor things so that Thomas could succeed to his skills and his strengths. It took him a while to realize they should do that. It was worth it.
But they had the opportunity to do that, or the luxury, because they had
Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
Around.
Yeah,
right.
No question.
That was my point.
But I also don't think he was given enough opportunities to rush a quarterback.
Maybe not. You know,
I think he should have had a few more chances.
Yeah, that first year he played inside for most of it.
Yep.
He didn't have a chance.
But I'll bet you in a moment of truth, they would say, look, when we did give him the opportunities, he just didn't do it, so we had to stop.
And I would say the moment of truth in the Super Bowl, he got there.
When he filled in for Colvin the remainder of the 07 season, he was spectacular.
Unreal.
Punctuated by the Super Bowl,
which they lost.
He had a great game.
Tom Brady, with Bill O'Brien doing so-called running the offense, what are we going to see more? Are we going to see more bombs to Moss that go nowhere and a lot of work out of the shotgun? I'm hoping it was a personal issue or personnel issue on the offensive side which caused some problems, especially late in the year, but I'm not so sure yet. And I don't think Deion Branch alone is the answer at wide receiver, comeback of Brandon Tate, who is an unknown at this point. Wide receiver help is a huge need this offseason. Your take on the future of the offense and what will be the right way to go will be appreciated.
I think the offense will be better. I know I've kind of said this too much, but I think Bill O'Brien's a pretty good coach.
He is.
Other people I've talked to think he's a smart coach.
I'd like to get a little bit more talent at wide receiver and tight end.
But that's not his job. His job is to put together whatever he gets.
No, but I mean, if he gets what he had last year or worse, I don't have the confidence that the offense is going to be better. You know? I'd like to get...
Well, then that's part of Bill O'Brien's fault, because Josh McDaniels had less talent when the 2006 Patriots with Doug Gabriel, Rishay Caldwell, and Jabbar Gaffney put it together.
It's true. It's a
so
good
that's
point.
Part of that's coaching.
That's a good point.
Whether you want to blame all coaching, maybe Brady's not as good or doing whatever he did that year to get on the page with those guys, he has as much talent as that group had.
I would assume Brady will be better because it'll be a year plus since the knee. I'd like to get a feature running back. The committee thing is fine, but I'd rather have a feature guy.
Won't happen.
Maybe in the draft. Who knows?
Won't happen. Even if they get a feature guy, he won't be featured this year. So will not have a featured back.
I'd like to get a couple of wide receivers, a good, you know, a legitimate tight end.
I agree.
Michael.
I'm just laughing. What?
Wow.
Eric loves a tight end.
Mike's in Florida. Hey, Steele, Andy, Paul, and Eric. I was at the Senior Bowl practices in Mobile a couple weeks ago, and I observed a couple of interesting things. One, Floyd Reese was on the sidelines looking primarily at wide receivers for most of the practice.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Two,
so
I never saw...
on Dez Bryant? Golden Tate?
Golden Tate.
I never saw Belichick in any of the 3 days that I was out there at practice. I know that y'all have not started your draft process yet, but there were two guys out there that I saw and was really impressed with. One was a cornerback out of Wake Forest named Brandon Gee, and the other was Florida wide receiver Riley Cooper. And being from Florida and being a lifelong Gator fan, looks like a guy who could develop into a great number two receiver in time with his tremendous hands and route running. Have you seen either of these guys play, and what would you think of them in terms of being fits for the Pats?
Well, if you've watched Florida, you've seen Riley Cooper. I mean, he's tall, kind of Moss-like, you know, in size. Yeah. But, yeah, maybe he – I mean, we haven't really
Florida.
Done enough, though. But he's Florida.
Are you guys
he's
are leaving
Florida.
For the combine on Wednesday?
Yep. Wednesday, yeah.
So that'll be good.
Be there through Monday.
We'll be doing daily reports on Patriots.com.
Multiple.
Blogging.
Notebooks, position breakdowns.
Yep.
Blogs, yes. Blog entries.
So people really should be logged on.
All day.
All day long.
Do you get what time do you get
there? We get
there
between 8 and 9.
Oh, Wednesday?
On Wednesday?
On Wednesday. In the afternoon.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to do on Wednesday.
So starting Thursday morning,
yep.
Make sure that you're following Andy and Eric.
Mm-hmm. We'll be hitting it hard.
And their adventures in Indianapolis.
Yep. We'll be in the Lucas Oil Clubhouse or whatever.
Yeah,
Club
I don't know if they have a sponsor,
area.
But whatever that place is. It's
we'll
kind
have
of
everything.
Like our Fidelity Investments
we'll
Clubhouse.
We'll have the coaches, the general managers, any league talk with as it relates to anybody that could be interested. Peppers, Will Fork, all that crap.
Yeah, by then we should know whether or not.
By Friday we have to know everything.
And B-Lo will be there doing Patriots Nothing. Today. No, they'll be doing shows. So
Freddie, you got an ask PFW today that thinks I should take over Patriots today.
You should take yep. over Patriots. Would you want to do that?
No. Although I think it's a pretty easy job, personally.
Well, no. I mean, we would it's have so you do ridiculous. A lot of things if you wanted yeah, to do
And
that.
I do a lot of things well, so it's a good fit. But
oh my God.
I don't think I really have a face for TV.
Well, with the widescreen now, it might be a little better than it was before.
Yeah, that was just an unsolicited...
Thought it was an elongated screen, Fred.
Could be, yeah.
Your mom likes my elongated
oh,
screen.
Oh, boy, here we go.
When I'm boring her to death.
Mike also says, finally, I have a question concerning Jonathan Wilhite. You guys have said in the past that you feel he had receded a bit as a corner this past season and seem to have reservations about him being a starter next year. I, however, think he played fine last year and would argue that having to cover receivers like Reggie Wayne and Andre Johnson is a tough assignment for any quarterback. Nevertheless, a player like Wilhite, who is only has 2 years under his belt, seems to be in the right spot, unlike Ellis Hobbs, who was 10 yards away, but doesn't always make the necessary play. My question is, what do you see in his play that gives you these reservations about him being a quality starter going forward for the Pats?
Well, doesn't always and always doesn't make the play. We've been down this road before.
Yeah.
There's corners that are stay near receivers. Leonard Myers was one of them. I liked him when he was like a rookie because in practice you watch him and he's with the receiver. Then you realize, yeah, he runs with the receiver, but the receiver always catches the ball.
Yeah.
At some point, you need to show the ability to catch the football, make a break on the ball. Darius Butler has already shown more of an ability to do that than Wilhite has. I came in with high hopes for Wilhite this year. He terribly, terribly disappointed.
Well, but here's the thing. Go back to the draft. He was drafted in the fourth round,
yep.
and at that point, the experts and observers thought that was kind of high for a guy like him.
A slot guy.
A slot receiver.
Third corner,
right.
corner, a star, you want to call it.
We
here.
Talked to his position coach at Auburn, and they said the same thing. If he's going to make it in the NFL, it's going to be as a slot corner, not as an edge guy. And he had problems getting beat deep, but he would use his makeup speed to do that to make a play. But that was in college when the receivers weren't necessarily as fast
Reggie
as they
Wayne.
Are. Right, so... He made this team as a rookie, partly as a slot guy, but it was forced to go on the outside because of injuries and whatnot.
And he showed
and he
a little
did
flash
okay.
of talent.
And I he mean, did okay. But this year he came back, I think, to you know down to earth a little bit, and we're getting what we were expecting to get out of him.
So if we could get that outside guy, Wilhite would be fine as mm-hmm. as a third nickelback or
sure.
a dimeback.
I would compare it to Gary Guyton.
Yeah,
he was a nice surprise as a rookie undrafted player rotating through.
Expectations
went
a little too high.
I don't think he was as nice a surprise playing a lot next to Gerard Mayo on the inside. He's miscast. It's what we've said all along. Some of their complementary cast is pretty good, but they need the playmakers. They need the number one corner, the number one pass rusher. They lack those guys. I think the others could fill in behind them. Problem is now, if Bawden's gone, that really, wrong now you got Sean Springs as your one, maybe.
Right. Oh,
Butler. As
quick thing about Bawden, though. The last
thing
show.
About Butt, he said.
Well, no, he didn't.
He did. Play the tape back. He said butt.
On the last show.
It's never quick.
The last show, we were talking about Bawden and the fact that the Patriots can't franchise him. But we all brought up the question, well, does that mean they can transition him?
We thought they
and
could.
Paul said, well, his agent has to be an idiot if he made that deal, that you can not franchise him, but you can transition him. And the next day, actually minutes after the show ended.
After some people seemingly heard our conversation and then looked into it.
Right, there were blog reports saying that the Patriots can actually transition him. So,
and he has a new agent.
Yeah,
so we were right, apparently, in our supposition.
Michael in London, massive fan of the Patriots and football in general, with football essentially
us?
Being yeah. the national sport of the U.S.
Goes without saying.
How can there even be talk of a lockout? It would be impossible for soccer,
it's
cricket, or rugby to even consider closing down for a season. There would be riots because it is so much a part of the culture and national identity. I guarantee the government would get involved or at least
express displeasure. Last thing we need is the government getting involved.
No, he's saying in England, if that happened, they would get involved.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also have hooligans there. We're a little more civilized on this side.
My question is, how has the lockout been allowed to get this to this stage? I appreciate that the setup is completely different to that of the UK, but even so, surely the most important thing is that the sport is played. It's a wonderfully unique and quintessential American game, and I find it unbelievable that there is even potential for no games in 2011.
It is above and beyond a business.
Right.
That's the main thing. The owners.
No, it is a business.
That's what I'm saying. It's above all, it's a business.
Right.
It's
we not are a nation of right. laws.
And we are a nation of
without
businesses.
Without
laws. Right. The owners and the players, at the end of the day, are interested in making money. They can say how much they love the game and that they would play for free if they could. Well, they're getting a chance to play for free, and they're not going to.
Well, they're not getting they're getting locked out.
And
no, but I'm saying that they play for money.
Yeah.
The owners have a team to make money.
And I would say that as passionate as NFL fans are, it's not part of their life
right.
like the way soccer is in England. No
they
way.
Don't fight for it, literally. Yeah. In England, they fight for yeah.
we'll
their sport.
We'll walk away
right.
because we don't have time for nonsense.
And in a bad economy.
We're more civilized.
Right. Yeah. And in a
well,
bad
not,
economy.
I'm not saying that we're more civilized, but.
Fred, they fight all the time over there.
Well, certain fans do.
Hooligans.
Hooligans do. But
we
not,
don't have
not
hooligans.
All the fans. We have fans that fight.
Raiders right. fans?
But they don't fight in groups. It's
right.
just one guy mouthing
they
off
have
to another
like
guy.
Gang wars.
No, I know. They meet up before and after. But it's I think we're here, you know, here the fans recognize it's a business, and if the business is going to fail us, we're going to walk away. We don't have to have it. It's
right.
different than in England, where I think it's safe to say you got to have your soccer, you know.
Because they don't have anything else, do they?
No, they've got
well, they have rugby.
They've got cricket. They got rugby.
Cricket.
But are they on
polo?
I mean.
Polo,
yeah,
fox hunting.
Crew. Is yeah. are any of those as close as baseball is to football?
Tickle the Queen, I think they have. Is that a sport?
Yeah. Tickle the Queen. You're not supposed to touch the Queen.
Oh, you're not supposed to touch.
Unless
the
you're the king.
Well, you would hope. Kinger.
What?
What?
But are any of those as close as baseball to football?
What do you mean?
Checkers. When you king,
like
oh,
baseball. Is America's pastime as close, as popular, whatever. Are any of those sports as close to soccer in popularity as baseball is to football?
Well, for certain groups, cricket is
cricket
pretty
and,
damn popular.
And rugby, I think, is
yeah.
pretty big, too.
No, I know.
Well,
but
rugby is more popular
come on,
like
Andy,
in
you're
Ireland,
the man of the BBC.
Scotland.
That's true. I should call, what was that girl's name? The hot blonde.
Here we are again, Americans talking about everybody else's sport. Like we
me?
Know what the hell we're talking about.
Well, let's get some of our UK fans
well,
to write in. What's the level? What's the equivalent?
Right. Because hockey has a following here, but it's not as popular as basketball, which
right.
is not as popular as
right.
baseball.
Well, there's no doubt that soccer is number one.
Football.
I don't think there's anything
football.
Close.
NASCAR has
are
a passionate following,
yeah.
but not as big.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything close to soccer. But again,
well, let's hear from the UK people.
Here, I think there is. I think baseball is close enough that people just turn their attention. Certainly from April to October.
Right.
Maybe once October ends, they'd go, son of a bitch, I really wish the NFL were playing right now, and now I'm upset. But they're
yeah,
pretty close.
Even tried and true baseball fans, when it gets to like the All-Star break, they're like, oh, I can't wait for training camp
right.
to start for football.
Right.
And,
screw
know.
The Sox. Let's talk some football. Paul writes in, I heard you guys talking about where
really?
To play the Pro Bowl. The NFL won't do it, but the town would roll out the red carpet. You might even get a
what
charity time? Golf tournament going featuring past and present sports stars, Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Before you voice any negative responses, may I remind you that when picking every week's games, you use the point spread. But this is the topic I'd like to hear your opinion on. I think too many sports have lessened the game by favoring the offense. Too many people want to see scores. I don't think a baseball team scoring 10 runs in an inning is sport. The rule change might be raise the pitching mound. The NFL favors the offense too much also. We are at a point where most people think that whoever wins the coin toss in overtime wins the game. Here is my question. Are there any rule changes you would like to see that you think would improve the game, whether it favors offense or defense? An example, moving the goalposts off the goal line
yes.
is good. A penalty
no,
for celebrating after a score is
oh,
bad.
No. I want the goalposts back on the goal line.
Why?
Because I like it.
Because he wants people to run
people
into them and knock themselves
give
out.
Give something to think about in the middle of the football field.
Yeah, like there's not enough to think about out there.
Yeah.
I would take away the celebration.
Oh, I wouldn't
penalty. That's stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Let people celebrate.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I take away icing.
The wussification of the quarterback rule that
yep.
you can't hit
take
him
that
high,
away.
Low,
that
or anywhere
thing.
In between.
Right, take it all away.
I've said it all along. Give them unnecessary roughness. Let them decide.
Mm-hmm.
And the illegal contact rule, I would change. It wouldn't. You know, we talked
after
about
the 5-yard
day.
Thing and all that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Loosen that up a little bit. The pass interference,
like it was before, Pelion had a hissy fit.
Yeah, I'm not saying
table.
We have to go back to the 70s when they could like.
Well, you can't tackle people, right?
But there's got to be a happy medium.
Don't make
between.
This the NBA, where as soon as you breathe
right.
on somebody, they call,
yeah.
they throw a flag.
Give me something in between.
Let them play. These are adults. These are men.
They
let
have
them
pads
play.
On.
Right.
Although. There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Freddie, you get your iPad yet?
I'm not getting an iPad.
Has anybody got an iPad yet?
Not that I know of.
Sounds like it's falling flat.
You know?
Kind of like the Segway.
Well, no one, you can't buy them yet. They're not out until next month.
Yeah. I think it's going to fall flat.
Pre-orders?
Disappointing.
Not doing well?
Yeah.
Why would you want an iPad?
And as far as holding it in Las Vegas, I think the NFL would be viewed as hypocrites for discouraging gambling and yet holding an event in the gambling capital of the world. So I don't think it would happen. We do the point spread because, I mean, we're not actually betting. We're just,
right.
You know, we're not winning anything. It's just entertainment purposes.
James writes in, how much depth will the Patriots need in the receiving core this year? Will number 11 be a factor in this, or do you think that they will go more in the direction of filling in the tight end position?
Well, number 11 wide receivers is going to be a major factor on this offense next year. No question.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody emailed in today and said, do you think he could get have a breakout year and get 70 to 80 passes? I think you're in trouble if he's not knocking on 70 passes. He had 37 not playing at all this year, essentially. Mm. He had like two games plus.
No, he's definitely got pretty much, you know, I don't know if he doesn't have the hands of Welker, but he's as quick.
Maybe.
He's faster.
He's faster, maybe as
quicker
quick.
Is,
I'm not sure he's as quick.
I'd still give Welker the edge when he's healthy.
He's
going to
be counted on. I mean, they're going to expect contributions from him. I think they'll fill in around him.
He's the number 2/number 3, whichever. Right. Like, if you get the legitimate number 2 on the outside, he's your definite number 3. If you then he's your...
Maybe ideally he'd be your 4 or whatever, but he's going to be counted
on. He's in the Welker role.
Bill and Vale, I have...
Hey! Get much beaver out there, do you?
Oh, boy. I have what I think
doesn't
is a
even
simple
say beaver
question.
Anymore.
however, with Belichick and the Patriots, I don't know how simple it is. Why are our tight ends not used more as pass options? Watson had a good year, but nowhere near where he should be for what the expectations were. Is it a game plan thing, or is it that Belichick never used tight ends as anything more than blocking and a relief valve for the quarterback? Or is it that we just have sucky tight ends?
Yep.
What would Coates have done in this offense?
Damage.
Tom Brady would have loved Ben Coates.
Oh, God.
Would have absolutely
early
loved
in his
him.
Career? Oh, my God.
Throughout his career. Anytime.
Well, toward the end, he started getting called a lot for pushing off.
Well, because he lost
Yeah.
He had been beaten on for years when he was catching passes with five guys on him.
And he always made the catch.
Right.
Always made the catch.
Yeah. But, I mean, it starts with two young tight ends that didn't have hands, couldn't catch the football. That's a flawed tight end when you have Watson and Graham. Baker, I think, will improve next year as he gets more comfortable in the system.
But he's still your number 2 backup.
Yeah. Well, not right now he's not.
No,
he's a starter.
I mean, as if you had an ideal situation, he'd be your backup.
Right. He's not a star tight end. I don't think this offense will ever have a star tight end, but I think they could have a tight end that contributes more if the quarterback had faith in the guy. Yeah. I mean,
Coates was what, a 7th-round pick or something? Wasn't he a late round?
State, he was at least 5th.
At least 5th.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, you know.
I mean, we saw Watson out here in the playoff game when Brady throws a little swing pass to him and it just deflects right off him. That is Ben Watson. Yeah. How Tom Brady could never build any confidence in him. He either lines up in the wrong spot or deflects the ball off his hands. Or the one time last year, 2 years ago, when he just fumbled it. Pulled a Patrick pass and just dropped the football. Forced fumble, Benjamin Watson on Benjamin Watson.
Bill also has a bonus question. Do you guys in the rest area Rover think that there is a point where Mr. Kraft is going to tighten the leash on Belichick?
Yes.
How long of a leash do you think he has? Do you think if we don't make the postseason the next few seasons, Belichick's contract and any extension may be threatened?
Yes.
You
I think the leash will get shorter. I think right now the leash is still pretty close to unlimited, but I think the leash is at its longest length as we speak.
Sure.
It will not get any longer. It will only get shorter. It's like those plastic ones that zoom out when the dog wants and you push the button. The button has been pushed. We haven't started reeling it back in yet.
Good job, Fred. 5B.
5B.
Was Ben Coates in the 91 draft.
Who was 5A?
Take a guess.
91.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have.
I'll give you the position. Running back.
John Vaughn.
Yes. Michigan.
I loved him.
I really liked him. Big John Vaughn fan.
Tank, we're going to close it out.
Thank you from the rest stop Rover. You can do nothing, because if you do, you lied to God.
Nathan from Southern California, after watching the NFL Network, they listed the projected top 10 teams for the 2010 season, and they have most of the teams that you'd expect except the Pats. initially I got pissed off and I wanted to blame it on Marshall Faulk, but that former St. Louis butt ram wasn't on the show.
Butt ram.
So I couldn't blame it on him. Then I thought about it, and I think they might be right. This is why there are no players projected to get better next year as opposed to this former year. I can't think of any that will make a significant difference except for maybe Brady.
Go to the blog on PF. How do you get to our blog? Yeah. Check patriots.com, go to the blog, and I have
Shift F7.
The list of players who should be or could be better next year.
There you go. Also, we are too cheap for Peppers, and the lasting impression of Wilfork is that in a home playoff game, multiple balls got ran down his throat like his name was Eric. What?
Now, that's just
that's
wrong.
That's terrible.
He crossed a line there.
Is Bill trying to coach a cost-efficient business or trying to win a Super Bowl? Drafts, free agents, and spending some money for players are key this offseason. Our previous accomplishments aren't good enough for 2010.
You know what Bill should give up for Lent and continue through the draft and free agency? Value. The word value.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear the word value.
I agree.
I want to hear the word good player.
Blue chip.
It's two words. Yeah.
Right.
Best available.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Those are two good words.
Yep.
There's better value in two words than one.
And that used to be the
MO?
The general philosophy of most teams back in the day, like 90s, early 90s. Best available was like the trend, like because
right.
the Cowboys would do it.
Right.
They would just, you know, they take whoever was the best player at that time. That's who they'd take. I think the Patriots need to go back to
now
that.
It's all about, oh, he's really worth pick 23,
yeah.
And I'm at 20, so I got to trade down and get an extra seven.
Too much thinking about finances. Just pick the
I gotta
player.
I got to go pick a Beau Rude. How about we pick a good player?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't annoy you?
It does a little
bit. An over-analysis of, God forbid I pick a guy three spots higher, I'm sitting at 29, and he's really second round.
You know, after you get
screw
past
it.
That
pick
15th
him.
Pick, the difference between 20 and 23 is negligible.
Mm-hmm.
You
right, know? But they always think, well, if that's true, blah, 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 I'll
right.
get the guy lower and add this.
Get the spreadsheet.
Stupid chart. Yeah,
thing.
Put all your
yeah.
spreadsheets away. Put your footballfocus.com away and just draft the best player. Bill,
right.
I have talent. I have a lot of faith in Bill that if he sees a guy and goes, that guy's good, that he'll be good for him, other than tight ends. And I think
Chad
I'd like
Jackson.
Him to just, yeah,
definitely.
Chad Jackson. But Chad Jackson was a little value, too. I just want him to pick a good football player. 6'4", 4'6", 1, anything. Tell me a guy that you think can just play. How come he can do it with Edelman and say, you know what, Edelman can just play. I'll take him and put him somewhere. They didn't know how or where they were going to use Edelman. Did Eric die over there?
Eric just sprained his thumb. Is that what happened?
Pull it out of your butt.
No, I hit my hand against the console.
Why?
I was going to.
I
was moving my hand like this, and I just hit the bone the wrong way against the corner, hit the edge here.
Wow.
Ah.
Are you going to be able to
are you a hockey
tonight,
player or a football player?
Oh, my arm. It's broken.
A Paul Perillo type hockey player?
Yeah,
yeah,
that means
back.
You'll be
you know,
back.
We never
got
to talk about Paul's hair.
Oh.
So quickly, the show's almost over. But, you know, Paul was going to shave. And
he was going to do the buzz cut.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be really. Now, he shaved the sides close.
He buzzed it,
but he left the top, so it looks like a little porcupine.
Yeah. It doesn't. You know? The top doesn't really look any different than it used to.
No,
The sides are definitely
shorter. It's less of a
comb
it's over. Sticking up.
Yeah, it's sticking up instead of combed over.
Right, right.
He needs to get. It needs to be the same consistency the whole
way
around. He
needs to just
around.
Do it.
Right.
He
I think he's going to. I think he kind of, like, dipped his toe in to see
right.
what it was going to be.
Hey, do you have that song that my nieces wrote?
What?
My nieces wrote a song for Paul.
Your nieces?
Yeah. Well, it's my, you know, my brother-in-law's daughters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those would be your nieces.
Right.
Uncle Fred. I have a hard time. Well, actually, no. The crazy uncle. The
yeah.
crazy rich uncle.
Do you have
who says
that?
The weird stuff that people just kind of have
yeah.
to ignore and look away.
So maybe we can close the show with that song.
Okay.
So.
What is going on?
I don't know.
Anyway.
What is it? It's a song about Paul's hair?
Well, we'll just hear it. You ready?
Oh, for what's God's
this,
sake.
I caught him playing solitaire, whatever the hell he's
changing
hey,
hit.
All you bald people, you rock!
What the hell is this?
Hey, Cece, you got your skull cap on?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you got your skull cap on?
Yeah.
I like pie in full effect. Hump girls, sing.
Look at my shiny head. Look at my shiny head. Look at my shiny head. Bald is something you get when you're stressed. Your hair starts falling out. Next thing you
All right, so that's a little song. I was hoping that Paul would be here.
That's really your nieces?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Who's
I got to tell you,
is that your brother-in-law?
Yeah, he's like a really good sax player. He's a musician.
But do they have a studio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got a studio. He puts it all together.
Why did they?
They did another song it's called Everything Tastes Better with Bacon.
That's another good song.
Yeah.
Appropriate for this show and our audience.
Yeah. What
we'll
made
save
them
that for next week?
Did you tell them about Paul?
No. They just did this song, and I'm like, oh, that's a great song. I wanted to wait till Paul came in with it really shaved. And they say, Paul, you did a great job. We want to play this song for you.
Well, he won't have heard this show, so it'll be new to him whenever it happens.
We'll play it.
For your information, Fred sent me that email February 8th, and it's now the, 16th?
18th. Well, I was waiting for him to.
He didn't get the haircut until the 11th.
Right.
Well, Paul will get. He said he's next time he's going
much shorter. But he's got to tackle with the top of his head.
Those few
Eric, you should
bristles.
Help him out.
No, if he tackles with the top of his head, it's spearing.
Oh, God.
And on that note,
all right.
Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. And this week in Patriots land, we'll see you next Tuesday.